Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, PattyRossCarmel.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Jim Taylor. Hillary Clinton could be the next Secretary of State. CBS News chief political consultant Mark Ambender says he's told that she was offered the job earlier this week.
People close to Clinton say that she has been agonizing about taking the job all week. She did tell her friends that by the end of the week she wanted to make a decision, and it appears today as if that decision is yes.
CBS News also reporting New Mexico Governor Bill Richardson, a serious contender for Commerce Secretary, and there are reports he is the next Secretary of the Treasury. Who is Timothy Geithner?
He is well-known and respected on Wall Street, and so investors saw this as a major positive. They believe that Geithner could be the man to see us out of the woods here on this financial crisis.
CBS News business reporter Alexis Christophorus talking about the current president of the New York Federal Reserve. When reports came out about Geithner today, the market responding a nearly 500-point rally. The Dow finishing at 8,046. Home for the holidays. Congress calling it quits without bailing out Detroit. CBS News White House correspondent Mark Noller traveling with the president.
The White House calls it appalling that Congress left town without acting on a plan to help U.S. automakers. On Air Force One on the flight to Peru, Press Secretary Dana Perino denounced Democratic leaders for what she called mindless opposition to the bailout plan backed by President Bush. It would make $25 billion in loans to automakers from an Energy Department program. Perino ridiculed the lame duck session as, quoting now, the Do-Nothing Congress, Part 2. Mark Noller, CBS News, Lima, Peru.
The president's in Peru to take part in a 21-nation economic roundtable of Pacific Rim nations. A shooting on the campus of Savannah State University today.
A lot of people in Savannah that just go on campus, you know, I mean, it's not real strict. It's not real hard to get on campus, you know. Somebody could have easily just brought it in, you know.
A student wounded, a suspect in custody. The campus locked down for several hours today. Nebraska's safe haven law, controversial because there was no age limit, unwanted teenagers being dropped off at hospitals. It has changed. Nebraska Governor Dave Heineman today signing a bill that adds a 30-day age limit.
We look forward to the broader discussion now about teenagers and what we should be doing.
A South Florida teen committing suicide in front of a live online webcam audience. Investigator Wendy Crane.
One of them alerted the moderators for the site. They apparently then got his contact information and contacted the Pembroke Pines police, who were then subsequently seen. A piece of the door frame went into the frame when they, you know, kicked it in, and then you see the police officer to check him.
19-year-old Abraham Biggs, dead of an overdose. The Red Kettle and the Silver Bells are going modern. In Dallas, Texas, Salvation Army spokesman Pat Patey.
We recognize that fewer and fewer people are carrying cash nowadays, and that can be bad news for a fund drive that's solely based on cash. So we're trying to get with the program and in the 21st century with technology and allow people to make credit and debit card donations.
This is CBS News.
How to perform holiday magic. Step one, go to the Home Depot. See the exclusive holiday collection of stunning pre-lit Christmas trees, ornaments, lawn decorations, lights, and more at guaranteed low prices, now even lower. Step 2. Choose your decorations and create a holiday wonderland inside and out. Step 3. Notice how it all fits nicely within your budget, which is every bit as magical as flying reindeer.
The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. Time to go shop, shop till you drop. Traffic's a mess, has me distressed. No need to pout, Nuvi will reroute. Sale ends at 2, Nuvi gets me through. Miss traffic jam, Nuvi has a plan. No standing still, back road's a thrill. Look for the T on the Nuvi navigation tool. Even saves you fuel. Give a, give a, give a, give a Garmin. Give a, give a, give a, give a Garmin. Nuvi with a T puts your mind at ease. Garmin.com, Garmin.com. Traffic data not available in all areas.
Asthma. If you've got it, you'd probably do whatever you could to ensure your kids don't suffer as well. CBS News correspondent Barry Bagnato.
There's currently no effective way to prevent the development of asthma. An intriguing study in the American Journal of Respiratory and Critical Care Medicine suggests high-risk parents might someday think about trying to time their children's births. It finds that infants born in the autumn before the start of the winter virus season increase their chances of developing asthma. The risk increases 30% for kids born 4 months before the peak of that year. Cold and flu season. The authors say this is the first time such a seasonal link has been established.
Say you always wanted to see the Olympics in your town. Say you just got elected president.
As president-elect, I see the Olympic and Paralympic Games as an opportunity for our nation to reach out, welcome the world to our shores, and strengthen our friendships across the globe.
The president-elect in a pitch for holding the Games in Chicago in 2016. I'm Jim Taylor, CBS News.
When shopping for holiday gadgets, some search engines get you lost in all the links, but not Yahoo Search. To prove it, we switched Mark's Google page with Yahoo and brought a mall Santa along for the ride.
Ho, ho, ho!
Man, I'm sick of mall Santas.
Ho!
You'll never get tired of how Yahoo Search helps you shop. Type a gift like digital camera.
Hey, there's popular brands, ratings, buyer's guides all at the top of the page.
It's a miracle on... Oh, what street are we on?
Switch to Yahoo Search and get straight to your answers. Start now at Yahoo.com.
Yahoo!
A wine is only as good as the vineyards it comes from. Now for Cabot, America's favorite Pinot Grigio, that means grapes grown in the foothills of Italy's Dolomite Alps. Experience our distinctive Pinot Noir. Its lush, elegant style has also made it America's favorite. Our award-winning Merlot, or the rich Cabot Riesling with its fresh, vibrant character and fruit aromas. So when you're looking for truly exceptional wine, choose the Cabot Collection.
The number one Italian wine in America, Cabot. Elevating life. Imported by Pompe International, Boca Raton, Florida.
Paying $100 an hour for computer support?
Welcome to this hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. And this hour of the PBC show will be rebroadcast over the weekend and over the Thanksgiving holiday. We're glad to have you listening whenever and wherever you happen to be. Look at what's wrong with America, and there are many things you can identify. One of the themes that always comes up is that our media is not doing a very good job. And in some cases, the media is doing a lot of damage. This hour, we're going to get two views on America's media. Robert Perry joins me in just a moment. He publishes at consortiumnews.com, a journalist with a distinguished record. And later this hour, Peter Phillips will join us. He's the executive director of Project Censored, and that operates out of the journalism department at Sonoma State University, near me here in California. And every year, they publish a book with the top 25 censored stories, the ones that either didn't get any play in the American media or got far too little given their significance. And Robert Perry was honored by Project Censored just a year ago for his work in exposing news that didn't make it into the corporate media. Bob, welcome to our show today.
Hey, Peter. Thanks for having me.
And remind me what story you published that was honored by Project Censored.
Well, the story was an examination of some of the fine print in the Military Commissions Act. There'd been a generally there'd been a lot of coverage of the Military Commissions Act, and most of the mainstream press had stated falsely that this only applied to non-American citizens, that foreigners or people with green cards. But if you read the fine print in the actual law, what you discovered was that there were sections that aimed directly at American citizens. There was one section that said that people with an allegiance to the United States could be taken before these military commissions if they were accused by the president of aiding and abetting terrorists or illegal combatants.
Mm-hmm.
So this was not what it was being sold as, oh, don't worry about this, Americans, because it only affects those foreigners.
And the bad guys, just really bad guys.
The bad guys, right. Project Censored recognized this thing was their top story from their list last year.
Mm-hmm. Well, I appreciate your work on that, and Project Censored has a whole new list, 25 stories, and we'll run through some of the significant ones a little bit later this hour with Peter Phillips. And if people will go to consortiumnews.com, that's Robert Perry's website, I invite you to take a look at his most recent post dated November 20, called What Must Be Done Now? And, Bob, I give you credit for the kind of think pieces that you write, and if you're not offended, it reminds me of Johnny Apple, R.W. Apple, who used to write for the New York Times. And they used to assign him the think pieces and the pieces that would tie together and analyze different elements in the news and commentary. And I think you've done an excellent job here in identifying what you call the asymmetrical nature of America's media. Describe that.
Well, basically, over the last 30 years, the right wing in the United States has invested tens of billions of dollars in building a very powerful, very sophisticated media infrastructure. It's essentially a vertically integrated apparatus that goes from the print of books, magazines, newspapers, to the more electronic forms of radio, TV, and the Internet. And this has altered the whole structure that we live in terms of a media culture in the United States. Essentially, it has built up not only the propaganda side for the right to sell their ideas, whether it be free market absolutism or neoconservative imperialism, but also it's changed the mainstream press, which I had been part of during the same period. I was with the AP in the late 70s and chunk of the 80s, and then Newsweek and PBS. So I would feel directly, and others would feel directly, the pressure that the right was putting on the mainstream press to tilt stories to the right. They had special attack groups that would go after you and try to, in their phrase, controversialize you, basically make it impossible for you to continue your career. And in many cases, they were successful in either damaging or destroying people's careers. The latest, I suppose, in a way, was Dan Rather, someone as important as that, the CBS anchor, who was hounded by the right over several decades and finally driven out of the business.
Mm-hmm.
So from smaller people at my level to the better known people, you had this phenomenon of the mainstream press realizing that if you wanted to keep your career, thank goodness, you would tilt it to the right. And so the overall effect of this, when you see it through this sweep of time, has been to set up the sort of circumstances we had with 8 years of George W. Bush. It's hard to even envision 8 years of George W. Bush without understanding what's happened to the media. And part of the story also takes the progressive side to task for not stepping up, especially the wealthier people on the liberal side, not stepping up with their foundations and with people with resources and investing it to essentially counter this imbalance that the right was able to create.
Well, and there's some interesting parallels and potential contradictions here. For example, let's take the model of the Washington Times. That is a propaganda sheet. It's owned by Reverend Moon. And when he came to Washington, he used it to buy influence, and it worked. He has been able to persuade political leaders from Poppy Bush, that's George H.W. Bush, to many others, to either acquiesce to his influence, or sometimes they cozy right up to him and throw their arms around him. But on the left, I think that there's a reluctance to adopt that kind of a model, to build an equivalent propaganda machine that would counter Moon's right-wing machine. And likewise, everybody knows that Fox News Channel is not fair and balanced, as it pretends. But I think that either because of business reasons, where the suits in the corporate suites don't think that there is enough business to form a left-leaning propaganda network, or is there, you know, a sense of ethics and journalistic standards that prevents a left-leaning propaganda machine from arising?
Well, I think those are good points. I do think, though, that you don't have to build a propaganda machine to counter a propaganda machine. You simply have to build something that tells the truth. And we've seen how this can work. It can have an edge to it. For instance, an interesting phenomenon in the last couple of years has been that MSNBC, which was trying to out-Fox Fox with flag-waving, putting the flag decals on their scenes from Operation Iraqi Freedom, just like Fox was doing back in 2003, they've decided that that wasn't working, so they've tried a different corporate approach, which was to bring Keith Olbermann in, a former sportscaster, who's sort of taken on Bush and taken on Fox News in a fairly direct way. And that's begun to work, and it worked so well that Olbermann was able to get Rachel Maddow's show right after his. So now you have a block of 4 hours on MSNBC in the evening, which, yeah, maybe it's a little, to my taste, a little too ideological to the left. But it's very good journalism.
Yeah.
And I think that style, especially Maddow's show, has a real journalistic tone to it with an edge.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that works. So I think there are ways of doing this in terms of building on those kinds of models that would be very effective and be entertaining and make some good business sense, but also help correct the extraordinary cost of this country that we've had from just the last 8 years of George W. Bush. It's almost incalculable how expensive that has been, not just in dollars, but in lives and in people's futures, people who will lose jobs in this coming recession. So I think people have to look at this more broadly, that you can really commit to fighting for the truth and fighting for good information, and that way you neutralize the propaganda.
Bob, recently I was talking to Jeff Cohen. He's published a book called Cable News Confidential. He worked at the Fox News Channel as a token liberal on one of their media criticism shows in the 90s. And then he was working at MSNBC as one of the producers when Phil Donahue was there, right before Bush launched the invasion of Iraq in 2003. MSNBC dumped Donahue. They felt that his liberal politics were out of step with the cheerleading for the war. And in fact, they replaced him with Keith Olbermann, who, as a former sportscaster, did not really emerge with his independent, left-leaning, sharply critical of Bush voice until a couple of years later. And that's an interesting metamorphosis in and of itself. But also, as you point out, with MSNBC now putting Olbermann and Maddow on a daily basis, they are responding, I think, to market research that shows that they couldn't make money by trying to outfox Fox with Tucker Carlson and,
Joe Scarborough.
Scarborough was on in the evening, and they even tried out Alan Keyes for a while a few years ago, if you remember that.
Right.
So they've been down the right side of the road and didn't work for them. And so I don't think
it's too crowded, basically.
the shoulder didn't have any room to pass. But it does seem that this is purely business. And yet I do think some very strong viewpoints are coming through on both of those programs that probably don't reflect the views in the General Electric executive suites.
I think that's right. I think this is a case where capitalism can be very effective. If they see a profit margin and ratings go up, they like that. But I do think that the idea of just building on the various things we have, Air America being obviously a struggling model of its own sort, but because of Air America, Rachel Maddow sort of refined her technique as a broadcaster and now fits in very well with MSNBC. So there are ways you can make this work in a way that both produces new voices, builds on some of what exists, helps some of the micro groups like consortiumnews.com as well as some of the macro groups like Air America. So you can do a lot, and it really has to be an investment now. I know it's a tough time for people, but But it's also a great time to try to build something where you have some good people who can be brought together and to make an honest media work.
And I will make the case after a break here, Bob, that with the renewal, a five-year renewal contract for Roger Ailes at Fox News, and with Democrats being in control in Washington, we may have a repeat of what we saw during the 90s with the right-wing media lining up against the president. We'll take a break and return to talk about that with Robert Perry. Visit his website at consortiumnews.com. They've got a fundraiser underway, and if you can help, I'd appreciate it. We'll continue in a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Listening to KRXA 540. Visit our website at KRXA540.com.
Hey, this is Tom Hartman for Dr. Daniel Turner. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry for 35 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place before your first oral examination. He interviews every new patient so he understands what is important to you, and because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street in downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. For all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Central Coast Running in Santa Cruz is the number one headquarters for runners. Whether you're a novice or a serious competitor, Central Coast Running has everything you need, from shoes to sportswear. Locally owned and operated by UC Santa Cruz cross-country coach Adam Booth, Central Coast Running should be your first stop before you run. Here's Adam with a tip on running.
We've got it pretty good on the Central Coast. There are lots of cool places to run all over the county. Wilder, Nicene Marks, Poganip, Westcliff, they're all great. This is Adam at Central Coast Running in Santa Cruz. Our whole staff not only works here, they run here too. Aaron and I are training for the Cal International Marathon. James and Alexia can be found jogging on Westcliff with their new puppy Sundance. And Brennan Lynch is having a great cross-country season for Santa Cruz High. Chris Proffitt left us to run for UC Irvine, so Charlie has joined our team and is starting at UCSC this fall. Come into Central Coast Running and enjoy running and walking with us.
Central Coast Running, located in the Gateway Plaza near the corner of Highway 1 and River Street in Santa Cruz, or visit them online at centralcoastrunning.com.
Peninsula Gem and Jewelry in Monterey is like no other store on the peninsula. 30 years family owned and operated, Peninsula Gem specializes in finished jewelry, jewelry repair, and custom design. Supplying tools and materials for the jeweler and lapidarist, from precious metals to cutting materials. Check out the spectacular Monterey Jade and other collectible minerals. Great gift ideas too. Peninsula Gem and Jewelry is at 2245 North Fremont Street, right next to Big Five in Monterey. Open Tuesday through Saturday. Peninsula Gem and Jewelry.
If you transfer your IRAs, 401ks, or any retirement accounts today, we will add 10% to your full account value. $100,000 becomes $110,000, $400,000 becomes $440,000, and $700,000 becomes $770,000. My name is Stephen DeJohn, president of the DeJohn Advisory Team. I was on the cover of Senior Market Advisor magazine because I protect my clients' money, and I can guarantee an income for life. We don't recommend stocks, mutual funds, or variable annuities. These are risky securities. With securities, you have unlimited upside, but you also have unlimited downside. Our clients do not lose money in negative markets. Do you have a multi-generational IRA? Why not? It's been your right since 2001. Don't let Uncle Sam be your biggest beneficiary because your broker or banker is sleeping at the wheel. Call us right now at 866-515-6669 to receive your free video and brochure. We will then set up your free IRA and retirement checkup at one of our nationwide locations. Call 866-515-6669. It's a new year and it's time for change. Call 866-515-6669.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale with 2 hours of talk radio all about our daily challenges, our fears, changes, crisis, addictions. Over 1,700 of them, can you believe it? Using the 12 steps, the law of attraction, whatever it takes. Join me Saturday afternoons 3 to 5 with my guests, and we'll find solutions together. The Sheila Show, Saturday 3 to 5 on KRXA, brought to you by Benji's Princess Monterey Whale Watching Trips. Open daily on Old Fisherman's Wharf, Monterey.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. As I mentioned, we'll talk about Project Censored and the stories that didn't make it into the American corporate media in the past year. Peter Phillips will join us about 10 minutes from now. We continue with Robert Perry, Bob Perry from ConsortiumNews.com. And Bob, as I mentioned just before the break, Roger Ailes, the brains behind the Fox News Channel, just got a 5-year extension on his contract. And he's been on a hiring spree. He picked up Karl Rove. He's got Glenn Beck, a despicable radio and TV guy who he's hired away from CNN. And he is continuing to assemble quite a team. And our expectation is that the kind of attack machinery that we saw arrayed against Bill Clinton in the 90s will surface, and in fact already has. On Fox News, the talking points are that we're in the Obama recession. So one of the other reasons to build up progressive media and media that's not propaganda from conservatives is defensive, to try to protect the incoming administration from the fallout of the often phony coverage coming from Fox.
Right, and I was around in that 93-94 time frame, and I watched as essentially there was almost a union between a consensus between the right-wing press, which was just becoming very powerful at that point. Fox News comes in the mid-90s, 95 or so, but already you had Washington Times, you had Rush Limbaugh, you had a lot of that going on as Bill Clinton was coming in, and they attacked him aggressively from the very start, and they were joined by many of the mainstream journalists, especially places like NBC and the Washington Post, places that were trying to prove they weren't liberal.
Yeah.
There was that liberal label that had been stuck on everybody. And so for their own defensive purposes, mainstream journalists are trying to shed that. And as one senior executive in a major news organization told me at the time, we're going to be tougher on Bill Clinton than on any Republican, to show that we're going to be tougher on any Democrat than any Republican. So the idea was to sort of bend over backwards to give the right what they wanted in attacking Bill Clinton. And that had a real effect in terms of exaggerating some of these mini scandals that were turned into major scandals, Whitewater, travel office stuff, and that really let the right gain a lot of momentum. And by the time you get to 94, when Hillary's coming out with her health care plan, they were attacking every day with the ugliest sorts of attacks mm-hmm. against the Clintons. I went to the Conservative Political Action Conference in February of 94, and there was an array of anti-Clinton paraphernalia. It was amazing how much there was. And you could see what their plan was. It was to destroy the Clintons personally and then take down their policies, especially some of their more progressive policies, like an effort to do health care. So, and that worked. And by the time you get to fall 94, the Republicans win control, and the incoming Republican Congress makes Rush Limbaugh an honorary member because of his importance, in their view, of helping them gain the majority, which they rode through most of that decade in terms of hounding Clinton. So it's not an insignificant thing.
And, Bob, you and I have talked frequently about our concern that Obama will not pursue investigations into the wrongdoing of the Bush administration in a similar way that Bill Clinton thought he could buy some love in Washington by forgetting about Iran-Contra and other misdeeds of Bush and Reagan. And a listener articulated this in an email the other day, that a political reason to conduct those investigations is to keep Republicans busy and to keep them on the defensive, explaining what happened in the past so that they have less bandwidth to attack the present and future.
Right. If you look at it from a business point of view, the right wing has to keep generating material for their media entities. And so they have to find something to do. And if they're not defending, that is, in the case of in the 80s and late 80s and early 90s, they were on the defense, protecting Reagan and Bush against Iran-Contra and things like that. So they were using their time and effort that way. Once the Democrats decided to just jettison those very important issues and scandals, real scandals, then the Republicans could shift, and they had to shift in a way, from defense to offense. They needed new material for their attack machine. and for their for Limbaugh's shows and the rest of it. And so, in a sense, what Clinton did by deciding to sort of sweep under the rug the Republican scandals was he opened himself for their attack. And that's exactly what they did.
Yeah.
And that's what they'll do again. That's their plan now. It's their only plan against Obama.
Thanks for your thoughtful analysis, Robert Perry. We'll talk again real soon.
Thank you, Peter.
All right. Coming up next, we take a look at the top 25 censored stories of 2008. Project Censored's Peter Phillips joins me.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood Files, sponsored in part by New York Life Insurance Company. 163 years of financial strength helps ensure your loved ones will always be taken care of. That's why New York Life is the company you keep. I'm Charles Osgood. Anything could happen, but it's not a very helpful guide for policymakers. So every 4 years, the National Intelligence Council publishes an intelligence estimate of looming problems and opportunities. As our CBS News colleague Bob Orr reports, there's a new one out now.
They call it Global Trends 2025. Some people may look at it and say that's a doomsday scenario because there's not much good news.
A glimpse into a clouded crystal ball after this.
Guys, the men's store inside JCPenney makes it easy to get in, find it, and get out, especially during the huge sale with the men's buy one, get one free sale. Buy one casual shirt, get the second one free. Buy a fleece top or sweater, and the second one is free. You get the deal, and you can get the deal on fresh shirts, dress clothing, big and tall, and young men's tops and jeans. There's a lot to like, but it's buy one, get one free. Style, quality, and price matter. Every day matters. JCPenney.
A wine is only as good as the vineyards it comes from. Now for Cabot, America's favorite Pinot Grigio, that means grapes grown in the foothills of Italy's Dolomite Alps. And while many great wines come from California, when it comes to Pinot Grigio, the best comes from Italy. There you'll find the perfect growing conditions for creating the award-winning Cabot Collection, where Cabot Pinot Grigio gets its crisp, light taste and full fruit flavors. So when you're looking for truly exceptional wine, choose the Cabot Collection.
The number one Italian wine in America, Cabot. Elevating life. Pompeii International, Boca Raton, Florida.
Bob Orr says some things are easier to project than others when you try to foresee what the world will be like in 2025.
The population in the world is projected to go up by 1.4 billion. At the same time, resources will be strained, so there'll be more people fighting over less water, in some cases less food, and diminished energy. They say that will be a trigger point potentially for conflicts around the globe.
Water shortages, disruption of agricultural patterns will be most severe in regions of the world that have the largest increases in population.
That's Thomas Fingard, Deputy Director of National Intelligence. As to how people see themselves?
National identity, nationalism, has been the dominant identity for most people. But we've seen and project we will continue to see greater attention to ethnicity, religion, region, tribal affiliation.
Even in a changing world, some things never change.
There'll be instability, which will come as no surprise to people in the Middle East, Iraq, Afghanistan, Pakistan, all flashpoints now in 2025 will still be flashpoints with governments still struggling to get a foothold.
Forecasting is always difficult, as Niels Bohr once said, especially when it's about the future.
The intelligence analysts say this is not an attempt to put down a flat-out prediction because they point out in the past, every time they've tried to do this, they've been largely wrong.
The Osgood File. Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Baby, quite continental.
Let me tell you about Chavez Jewelry Designs in Watsonville. Have you ever noticed how significant beautiful jewelry can be? A lovely diamond ring, special necklace, sparkling earrings, or a watch can be truly meaningful. When purchasing or repairing precious memories, having a friend in the jewelry business is critical. Chavez Jewelry Designs is your friend in the jewelry business. With Chavez Jewelry Designs, you will find the best products and repair service at the lowest prices. Stop by and check out Chavez Jewelry Designs. Conveniently located at 1418 Freedom Boulevard in Watsonville's Crestview Shopping Center. Chavez Jewelry Designs is open weekdays 10 to 7. Call Chavez Jewelry Designs at 768-8004. That's 768-8004. A friend is waiting.
Yeah.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. Some of the stories that we're going to talk about this hour never make it into the corporate media. Do you wonder why? The PBC show bouncing off the satellite up and down the left coast, all the way from the central coast, Big Sur, up to the Canadian border in Seattle. It's great to have you listening. And you can email me, Peter, at Peter B. Collins, with your comments about the show, pro or con. I always appreciate your feedback. That's Peter at PeterBCollins.com. And in just a moment, we'll be joined by Peter Phillips. He's the executive director of Project Censored. And this is an organization that's been underway for some years now. It was founded by Carl Jensen, who's now retired. And it's based at Sonoma State University, just north of San Francisco. And every year, the students evaluate stories. And in fact, if you go to their website, projectcensored.org, it's very user-friendly. And they are already vetting some of the stories for next year's edition. So if you want to get a head start and take a look at some of the things that are currently under discussion as a top censored story, you can see how the process works. So the new hardcover edition, actually it's a soft cover, but a book has been published, and it's Censored 09, and that contains the stories from the past year, 2008, that they have evaluated and determined to have been underexposed or completely ignored. And it is a powerful list. We're going to do our best to give you a rundown on some of the critical stories here in the top 25 censored stories of 2008. But I invite you to either buy the book, because then you will be supporting their work. It's published by Seven Stories Press. Or you can go to the website and get the information there directly. Again, that is projectcensored.org. And I have been a supporter of this group since its inception because I think that they do an excellent job of ferreting out the information that somehow never makes it onto corporate television networks and into the major print organs, the daily newspapers and weekly and monthly magazines. And this is all student-driven. And I just am very proud of the work they do. So until we can track down Peter Phillips, I'm going to start identifying the top 25 stories for you, and we'll give you just a quick summary of each one as we list them off here. The number one most censored story, over 1 million Iraqi deaths caused by the U.S. occupation. And this identifies, four different sources, including our friend Dar Jamail, who is a frequent contributor to this program, for a story that he published in March of 2008 through the Interpress News Service called Iraq, Not Our Country to Return to. It also identifies Michael Schwartz from After Downing Street, Alternet writer Joshua Holland, and Reuters reporter Luke Baker. And they discuss what we have also reported on this program, that over 1 million Iraqis have met violent deaths since the 2003 invasion, and that this is a number that is estimated by experts to be based on excess deaths. In other words, there is a mortality rate that is predictable in the work of actuaries, and this 1 million number is in excess of the normal morbidity in a nation like Iraq. And it's really one of these things that has been censored consciously by the U.S. government. When Donald Rumsfeld announced the policies for the invasion of Iraq, he made it very clear that they would not be publishing any estimates or body counts of Iraqis. And it's only in recent months, when they've tried to persuade us that things are getting better in Iraq, that they have started to talk about the rate of civilian deaths for the purpose of saying that they have declined. And this is a very cynical use of data and a very cynical, I think, look at the value of an Iraqi life. And I am pleased that they named that the number one story of the number one censored story from the past year. The number two story, Security and Prosperity Partnership, militarized NAFTA. And this is identified, they identify the Center for International Policy, Global Research, both publishing pieces, a total of three articles regarding the leaders of Canada, the U.S., and Mexico, and a plan to secretly expand NAFTA with deep integration of a more militarized trinational security force, taking shape under the radar of the respective governments and without public knowledge or consideration. This Security and Prosperity Partnership, headquartered in Washington, is aiming to integrate the three nations into a single political, economic, and security bloc. Now, this is something that's, I honestly have to say, has escaped my notice. And I've heard these stories about the NAFTA highway and those sorts of things, but this is a first for me. So I've got some work to do to catch up on that one. That is, according to Project Censored, the number two most censored story of the past year. Number three regards the Federal Bureau of Investigation, the FBI, and their program called InfraGuard. And our friend Matthew Rothschild from the Progressive magazine published this in February of 2008, describing that more than 23 representatives of private industry are quietly working with the FBI and the Department of Homeland Security to collect and provide information on fellow Americans. In return, members of this rapidly growing group called InfraGuard receive secret warnings of terrorist threats before the public and at times before elected officials. Yeah, isn't that amazing? So if you're a member of the Fortune 500 or you've got tight connections to some of the people who run these programs, then you could know, for example, a tip about a potential terrorist attack before, say, the chief of police in your community does. And that's very interesting. That's like the new plan at the airports where you can pay $100 and submit to a screening, and then you don't have to get in line with the grandmothers and me. Take off your shoes and give up your water. But, well, maybe you got to do that, but it's a quick route through. And I don't like that. I think that's a kind of class discrimination effort. The number four most censored story, according to Project Censored last year, is it's an acronym, ILEA, is the U.S. restarting dirty wars in Latin America. And this is credited to an outlet called Upside Down World, the NACLA report on the Americas, and alternate reporter Benjamin Dangle. And the alternate piece is entitled, Is George Bush Restarting Latin America's Dirty Wars? And I'll mention that here in November every year, there is a vigil at Fort Benning, Georgia. And there's a new name for the School of the Americas. But they, and I don't remember what it's called, but they're doing the same thing. At Fort Benning, the School of the Americas has been used to train thugs for foreign governments, mostly in Central and South America, for more than 20 years. And this report indicates that the there is a federal budget item that appropriated $16.5 million to fund an international law enforcement academy in El Salvador with satellite operations in Peru. And it includes provisions for immunity from charges of crimes against humanity. And each academy will train about 1,500 police officers, judges, prosecutors, and other law enforcement officials throughout Latin America each year in counterterrorism techniques. And often, those counterterrorism techniques include torture, incarceration, and sometimes summary executions. At least that has been the history in the past. Moving on now, in Project Censored's top 25 stories from the past year, this number five story regards the seizure of the assets of war protesters, and the credit goes to Matthew Rothschild at the Progressive, and also Michael Shasudovsky at Global Research. And I do recall talking to Matt Rothschild about this. He reported that President Bush has signed two executive orders that would allow the U.S. Treasury Department to seize the property of any person who's been perceived to directly or indirectly pose a threat to U.S. operations in the Middle East. The first of these executive orders, called Blocking Property of Certain Persons Who Threaten Stabilization Efforts in Iraq, was signed by Bush July 17 of 2007, and it authorizes the Secretary of Treasury, in consultation with Secretary of State and Defense, that's Secretaries of State and Defense, to confiscate the assets of U.S. citizens and organizations who directly or indirectly pose a risk to U.S. operations in Iraq. And this is chilling. We have no information to determine if it's actually been implemented and if people have actually suffered seizures as a result of this. But the very fact that this executive order exists is extremely troubling, and it represents, a further extension of the power grab that's been designed by Dick Cheney and by David Addington in Cheney's office. Well, we've been successful, and Peter Phillips joins us now. He's the executive director of Project Censor. Peter, thanks for talking with us today.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Well, it's good to hear from you again, and I'm just working through. I got to story number five here in your 09 edition of Project Censored's Most Censored Stories. And I just want to let you know that we led this hour with Robert Perry from Consortium News, who was honored by Project Censored last year.
Yeah, he did the work, some really good work last year.
On the Military Commissions Act and the issue that Americans could be detained under it, which was not something that the corporate media reported to us. So give us let's pause here in my rundown of the stories. And give us your sense of the work that the corporate media has done in the United States over the past year. As a university professor, you give out letter grades. How would you grade the corporate media's work?
Well, it's really hard to grade them. You can't grade them in terms of news objectivity because they're essentially in the entertainment business.
Yeah.
And so they're picking stories that are really trying to get you kind of addicted to having emotional content or tragic or celebrity-based kinds of stories, or keep us very scared.
Mm-hmm.
So most of the content that they're providing has a lot of it's coming from public relation firms working for government and corporations. So I have to give them a D minus.
Well, that's kind of generous.
I really think that they they probably should fail if the criteria is to provide information to the American people in terms of the First Amendment and building democracy, then they fail.
Yeah. Well,
they're increasingly irrelevant in our society towards what's important.
And what you deal with really is in the area of enterprise journalism, and I think that's very important. It's declining in this country. But the other aspect that I would look at just as a measure in 2008 was the sordid and sloppy coverage of the presidential campaigns and the debates, where network correspondents were there asking gotcha questions about driver's licenses for illegals when most people wanted to know about our Fourth Amendment rights and spying on American citizens, about the torture and detention policies. And
how we're going to end the war. And
yeah,
exactly.
And so there is, as you point out, a much more defined entertainment mission, even of the quote-unquote serious news broadcasts, and it really has crept in to the point where I think we've lost a lot of ground in terms of credibility and the value and credibility of the content that they deliver.
I think most people in the country realize today that the corporate media is only giving us part of the story. That's the popularity of Project Censored and related independent media sources is just massively increased. And we're getting millions of hits on our website. We've expanded now and are doing daily news releases through our personal news network with the RSS feeds from independent sources all over the world. And people are starting to realize that you don't need to watch television news to know what's going on, that there's other sources that are viable.
Yeah. Peter, it's up to break time right here, so we're going to take a break and return. We'll talk more about the top censored stories of the past year. You can log on to projectcensored.org and take a look for yourself. And I also recommend you stop by your local independent bookstore and pick up a copy of Project Censor's 09 book. It's out in the bookstores right now, and a lot of very important information in there. I hope you'll pick it up and check it out. Your purchase will help support the continued efforts at Project Censor. More in a moment right here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Our radio show for the whole family. Dysfunctional family. Stephanie Miller on AM 540, KRXA, 6 a.m. weekdays.
Hi, this is Cynthia.
And this is Paul at the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore.
Have you heard about the events at Pilgrim's Way in the Secret Garden? Maybe too late? Our events include workshops, lectures, and book signings by recognizable and well-known authors locally, nationally, and internationally on a wide range of topics.
Don't miss another chance. You can receive Pilgrim's Way event announcements personally by going to pilgrimsway.com and click on Events to subscribe to the private email service listed. An event calendar is also posted on the Pilgrim's Way community bulletin board inside the bookstore for your convenience. Support independence. Come in and pick up a free KRXA bumper sticker. We're on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in downtown Carmel.
Or give us a call at 624-4955.
Hi, I'm J.R. Medina, owner of PG Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue in Pacific Grove. My family and I are proud to serve the finest selection of beer, wine, liquor, and non-alcoholic beverages in the Monterey area. Our store is evolving beyond adult and soft drinks. We serve freshly brewed Acme coffee, the finest breakfast burritos, and now Nathan's hot dogs. We're open daily. Come by and check out the big, big selection and low, low prices at PG Liquors. That's PG Liquors at 229 Grand in Pacific Grove.
Hi, I'm Audrey Williams.
And I'm Melvin Williams.
Check out our new show, Holy Hip Hop on the Block, every Saturday from 10 to 12 noon, right here on KRXA 540 AM.
Check us out.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
KRXA is the radio home of Central Coast sports. Join us this fall as KRXA 540 brings you the high school football game of the week. Hi, this is Rob Ponce. Join John Berlin and me each weekend as we bring you the play-by-play of the high school football game of the week.
This Friday at 7 p.m., join us for the first round of CCS playoffs in high school football as the Monterey Toreadors host Leland at Monterey Peninsula College. 7 p.m. Friday.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, 8 minutes in front of the hour. And I'm your humble host, Peter B. We're talking with Peter Phillips from Project Censored.
I come home from work.
And this is a song indicting the media.
I see my little girl.
By Chris Ray.
She's crying on the floor. Dream watching that TV.
And I won't take the time to play the whole song, but he goes on to talk about blood and guts reporting on local television news programs. And it's quite a song. Chris Ray, R-E-A, a British blues artist, if you want to check that out. And Peter Phillips, moving back to the list here of your top 25 censored stories from the past year that are included in the 09 edition that's now out in bookstores. This is about something we've covered on this program, and it's called the Homegrown Terrorism Prevention Act. And this is a piece of legislation that essentially criminalizes thought. because if you commit an act of vandalism just because you wanted to, because you're a wayward teenager or an angry adult, you get a certain penalty. But if you do the same thing and your motivation is prompted by a belief in animal rights, even an extreme one that I might not agree with, then it ratchets up the penalties for the same exact crime. And I want to give credit, among others, to Matt Renner of truthout.org. And I have personal pride here because Matt was my producer for a year and a half before he moved over to Truthout. He did a great job on this story. And it's one, Peter, that I even got a Congress member who voted for it to apologize for. And this is so rare. I was talking with Maxine Waters, the Democrat from Los Angeles, and I said, Maxine, I saw that you voted for this violent radicalization homegrown terrorism prevention act. And she thought for a minute and she said, you know what? I think I blew it on that one. I'm going to take another look and see if I can change my vote. So at least there was recognition there, but it passed with, what, only five negative votes?
404 to 6.
Boy.
So Kucinich voted against it. I don't know who the other five were, but this was just, it kind of went through, just nobody paid any attention. And they said, oh, well, this is just a study. Well, this study was going to set up a commission to review intellectual communications on the internet, and particularly targeting, any Islamic organizations or any groups that were questioning or what they call conspiracy theory groups,
mm-hmm.
And anybody could be identified. And this was really thought police, that they wanted to be able to restrict thought, and they worry about people committing crimes who harbor beliefs the government considers to be extreme. In other words, they just went through, and we were all in shock, mm-hmm. literally, when this happened. And, you know, so civil liberties organizations all over the country, you know, started screaming about this. It hasn't passed the Senate. So it went through the House, and there's a Senate version, but it hasn't gone anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And we're hopefully that won't happen now with the new Congress.
And Jane Harman from the fascist wing of the Democratic Party is the author.
She was the author of it, yeah.
That piece of legislation.
Phenomenon of people's radical beliefs who turn other people into using violence. That's what it was about.
Yeah. I want to jump now to story number 8. Executive orders can be changed secretly. Now, this White House has used executive orders more than perhaps any preceding, and many of them remain confidential even after the president signs off on them. And so we don't know everything that has been executive ordered by George W. Bush. The one nice part about this is that executive orders can be reversed by the succeeding president, and it does appear that the Obama transition team has been carefully reviewing all of Bush's executive orders with an eye to doing just that.
Yeah, this came from Senator Sheldon Whitehouse. It was an internal release on his website where he had disclosed on the floor of the Senate declassified documents that basically said an executive order cannot limit a president.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, there's no constitutional requirement for a president who issues an executive order to depart from it any time that the president wants.
Well,
so, you know, you can issue an executive order, declare it the law of the land, and then you could change it the next day, and you don't even have to tell anybody.
Now, this is hardly transparent, and it's hardly an American value, in my opinion, Peter Phillips.
Not at all. And, you know, I think Obama will be looking at some of these, but, you know, it's the unitary presidency and the Justice Department's approach to that, saying that, you know, the president has this kind of absolute power. And once you're in place there, it's hard to give that up.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hoping that Obama will do the right thing and start to reverse some of these executive orders and restore habeas corpus and put us back on the right track to protecting American civil liberties.
There's much more in the top 25 censored stories. As I mentioned, go to projectcensored.org and take your time. Go through the list, click on the links, and look at each of these stories. And they are all compiled into the print edition, the new book that's out, Project Censored 09. And, Peter, I mentioned that you're already in process to develop stories for next year. And I'd like to just nominate one. During the debate over the bailout for Wall Street, Congressman Brad Sherman from Southern California on the floor said that he had heard that some of his colleagues had been told that martial law might be declared if the bailout bill weren't passed.
Yeah, we saw that one. So that one's in our hopper for this year, as well as a few hundred others, and we're continuing to do this research. And actually, Project Censored's grown, so we have affiliate universities all over the country now that are researching stories.
Mm-hmm.
There's 27 universities now part of Project Censored.
I didn't know that.
Well, it's brand new this year.
That's excellent.
And we're thinking that this is really the direction that we need to go,
mm-hmm.
to validate independent news stories from all over the world.
Well, Peter, thanks for your work and the work of all your students and now the work of your network all across the country. And hopefully we're going to shame the corporate media into covering the stories that they haven't been doing a good job on in the past.
Thanks, Peter.
Thank you, Peter Phillips. And again, the website, projectcensored.org. Thanks for listening to this hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. A podcast is available, and the link is on my homepage at peterbcollins.com. Portions pre-recorded.
Are you tired of paying $100 an hour for computer support just for the prompt to return? Hi, I'm Luke Ford, founder and CEO of My Computer Works. Whenever you have a major computer catastrophe or a simple question, give my U.S.-based computer technicians a call, and they'll remotely connect your computer and fix the problem for you. It's safe, secure, and you won't have to let a stranger into your home. Call now to receive 1 month of service free with a membership. Now let's hear from some of our satisfied customers.
They cleaned up the computer, and I sat there and watched everything going on. I was just having a ball.
So the convenience of having My Computer Works connect to my computer right then, fix it for me immediately, is priceless.
I was having a lot of major problems with my computer, and they basically evaluated the computer and went through and eliminated the problems I was having.
Call My Computer Works now, toll-free, 888-629-9618. That's 888-629-9618. 888-629-9618.
My Computer Works.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. The Secretary of State search is apparently over.
We have confirmed that Hillary Clinton has decided she wants the job.
And a report on the choice for Treasury Secretary boosts the stock market.
Traders were ripe for some good news to hang on to when it came late in the day.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. Barack Obama's only public appearance today was at Manny's Coffee Shop in Chicago, where he picked up a sandwich to go.
We got the corned beef.
How do you feel about the auto industry?
Yeah. I got the corned beef.
Yeah, that was the question.
He wasn't talking about the auto industry or his cabinet choices, but CBS News chief political consultant Mark Ambender tells us Senator Hillary Clinton will accept Mr. Obama's offer to be Secretary of State.
People close to Clinton say that she has been agonizing about taking the job all week. She did tell her friends that by the end of the week she wanted to make a decision, and it appears today as if that decision is yes.
She and the president-elect have had several conversations about what role she would play. More transition news from CBS News correspondent Chip Reed.
New Mexico Governor Bill Richardson, we can now confirm, is a serious contender for the Commerce Department. But I'll tell you, even if he does get that job, that's going to be a disappointment for him because his people say he was really hoping that he was going to be on that world stage as Secretary of State. He's got a lot of diplomatic experience, and he was hoping to put that to good use.
There are unconfirmed reports that Mr. Obama has settled on New York Fed President Timothy Geithner to be Treasury Secretary. That sits well with Wall Street. The market staged a late-day rally that saw the Dow rise nearly 500 points to close above 8,000.
The market was really looking for a reason to rally. We had two very bad days. We did not get that nice bump up from the bargain hunting that we had expected. So I think traders were ripe for some good news to hang on to when it came late in the day when we found out that Tim Geithner is going to be named Treasury Secretary.
CBS News business reporter Alexis Christophorus says Geithner is well-known and respected on Wall Street. Stephen Gandell of Smart Money Magazine says Geithner's been praised as a voice of reason in handling the financial crisis.
He's not an economist. He's a regulator. He was at the Treasury for a long time. He helped with the Asian financial crisis.
The New York Times says former Treasury Secretary Lawrence Summers is likely to become a White House economic advisor and might be in line to succeed Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke. Now this.
How to properly insulate your wallet. Step 1. Go to the Home Depot and purchase insulation. Step 2. Seal your home and install insulation. It can help save up to 20% on your heating and cooling costs. Step 3. Use the money you save to insulate your wallet.
At the Home Depot, we've lowered the price on over 1,000 products throughout the store to help you get ready for winter, including energy-efficient items like insulation. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. See store for details.
Nibble, nosh, savor, devour.
Kim, what are you talking about?
What I'm going to do with the Holiday Taste of Sam's Club.
Holiday Taste of
Sam's Club, where I can sample the perfect holiday meal before I host my own. Lobster ravioli, ooh, spiral glazed ham, decadent chocolate layer cake. Ooh. Live chef events, too.
Don't miss the Holiday Taste of Sam's Club. Friday, November 21st through Sunday, November 23rd, 10:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. Not a member? Join during the event and receive a $10 gift card. Restrictions apply. See club for details.
Citigroup stock fell below $4 today after CEO Vikram Pandit said he did not want to break up the company. But the Wall Street Journal says Citigroup's board has been meeting to decide whether a breakup is the best course. The Treasury Department and the Federal Reserve are said to be monitoring the situation. GM, adjusting to consumer demand, says it will cut production at 5 factories but increase output at 5 others. And the company says for cost-cutting reasons, it's reducing its fleet of private jets from 5 to 3. Ordinary Americans are cutting back, too. Lynn Franco of the Conference Board expects families to spend less on holiday gifts this year.
They're being very cost-conscious, and I think it's going to be a very challenging season for retailers, and it's going to take more than just the usual discounts and incentives to get consumers to spend a bit more freely.
In a survey of 5,000 households, only 27% said they plan to spend $500 or more. 35% said they'll spend less than $200. The price of oil edged up 51 cents today, but still closed below $50 a barrel. The national average for gasoline is now below $2 a gallon. When the Obamas move to Washington, daughters Malia and Sasha will attend Sidwell Friends School, a private school where tuition runs nearly $30,000 a year. Michelle Obama's spokeswoman says the Obamas decided Sidwell Friends is the best fit for what their daughters need right now. It's the school Chelsea Clinton attended when she lived in the White House. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
How to perform holiday magic. Step 1. Go to the Home Depot. See the exclusive holiday collection of stunning pre-lit Christmas trees, ornaments, lawn decorations, lights, and more at guaranteed low prices, now even lower. Step 2. Choose your decorations and create a holiday wonderland inside and out. Step 3. Notice how it all fits nicely within your budget, which is every bit as magical as flying reindeer.
The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help.
Time to go shop, shop till you drop. Traffic's a mess, has me distressed. No need to pout, Nuvi will reroute. Sale ends at 2, Nuvi gets me through. Miss traffic jam, Nuvi has a plan. No standing still, back road's a thrill. Look for the T on the Nuvi navigation tool. Even saves you fuel. Give a, give a, give a, give a Garmin. Give a, give a, give a, give a Garmin. Nuvi with a T puts your mind at ease. Garmin.com, Garmin.com. Traffic data not available in all areas.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
Later this hour, we'll take a look at the plight of fish stocks and fishermen in California. But first, we got to ask about the bailouts and the bankers. What have they been smoking? I mean, our pockets have been picked by the bankers, and here come the automakers, as Congressman Ackerman said, flying in on their corporate jets with a tin cup. Joining me now is Nomi Prinz, a journalist, a senior fellow at Demos. We'll tell you about that group. She's the author of Other People's Money, The Corporate Mugging of America. And she's not just like an armchair critic. She used to work on Wall Street for Goldman Sachs as a managing director. And she ran the International Analytics Group at Bear Stearns in London. Nomi, welcome to our program today.
Thank you so much.
Nice to talk with you, and I've talked to some of the folks at Demos before, and I describe it as a think tank and activist group for the middle class. Is that a good description?
Yeah, I think that's definitely right. Any issue that impacts, well, not just the middle class, anyone who's not really in the upper class. So that would be middle and lower.
That would be the aspiring barons like me.
Exactly. We cover you.
Now, I don't want to get too personal. I'm not going to ask for your balance sheet or your net worth, but did you do really well on Wall Street? I have a cousin who worked for Goldman Sachs, and she's in her mid-30s, and she made a fortune there.
Well, you know, I almost did really well, to be honest. I left right when Enron was about to be discovered, and WorldCom was coming out in terms of the scandals. And when I left, having decided that was about all I could take, not just because of that, just because it, we weren't on the same page, I actually forfeited a lot of the shares in the firm, and that was a number of years ago. But I did well enough to be able to live as a journalist for the last 6 or 7 years.
Mm-hmm. Good. So, first of all, let's talk about the banker's bailout. In a couple of minutes, we'll move over to Detroit. I have been opposed to this since the beginning. And it's so strange because I'm a lefty, and I have never been a millionaire, don't expect to be. I don't identify with that class. And as I looked at this, I could not come up with any rationale for this extortion of money from the American people. And particularly when we see the compensation that the very people who've demanded and received and are demanding and hoping for bailouts have gotten over the last few years, I say, well, wait a minute. They're not putting a dime into rescuing the businesses that they have wrecked. Why on earth should they come to the taxpayers for it?
Well, I agree. I have been knowing these people, some of them personally, particularly at the top of some of those firms like Lloyd Blankfein at Goldman Sachs, I have never understood any of the logic behind this bailout. Not just the discussion of the bailout and the debates over the bailout, but also why it even was discussed to begin with. The current $125 billion that has been spent from the bailout bought stocks in 9 banks that have lost in the last 3.5 weeks 55% of their value. So it's not even that the amount was spent, which didn't make sense to begin with. The amount has so far incurred a $60 billion loss.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not even that it's bad for taxpayers, which it is. It's a bad financial strategy from someone very much connected to and from the inside of Wall Street, the Treasury Secretary, Hank Paulson. And it doesn't make sense. And not only was that money used in the wrong way, and not only do we still have the rest of the $700 billion post the other equity injections to play with, but at the time that was going on, the Fed actually moved to make it such that those equity share injections into those banks mm-hmm. was to be reserved capital. So there was the lie of the fact that it would create a credit ease when the rules were being changed specifically to avoid the possibility of being used to ease credit for the taxpayer. So that was how it was sold. So it was lied in the selling. It is a wrong decision from a financial perspective, and it continues to not make any sense.
Nomi Prinz is with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. She writes for Mother Jones, and I'm going to spell her name so that you can look her up at her website, N-O-M-I, Nomi Prinz, P-R-I-N-S. And another frequently quoted person who's been on our program several times is Naomi Klein. And her book, Shock Doctrine, describes her sense of disaster capitalism. Is that what we're experiencing here? We've got problems, and the predators are closing in here to try to shift the system even more into the favor of the ultra-rich?
Well, that has definitely been what's happening. The idea, the shock doctrine, was what was used to loosen up the initial capital, the $700 billion for this part of the bailout. But behind that, is all the behind-the-scenes capital release, which the Federal Reserve has been doing, and that's to the tune of trillions of dollars of lending to banks sort of in different rules than have ever been done before. Mm-hmm. And it was all created after meetings with the leaders of these same banks.
Mm-hmm.
There is now a situation where Citigroup, which was one of the largest banks in the country and created off of a host of major, major deregulation and manipulation of regulation that was left, it's trading under $4. It is about to go bankrupt. This is after a $25 billion injection from the Treasury and after a lot of loans that it will probably not be able to repay from the Fed.
Mm-hmm.
And so the disaster has created a situation where Citigroup and others received money. And the true disaster, which is the very nature of our financial system, is therefore being ignored.
And Nomi, do you recall the three-page, I consider it an extortion note, that came from Paulson early in this whole process where, you know, he demanded the $700 billion, the number appeared to be picked out of the air. We just wanted something big, they told us. And it was breathtaking what they demanded in this three-page outline of a bill, which was no accountability, total immunity for the Secretary of Treasury, who had complete authority to spend this money any way he wanted. And then the Democrats said, oh, well, we fixed it. And they said, well, we've created this oversight board. Well, the money has flowed, and not one person has been appointed to the oversight board. Nothing is being done to monitor this. In addition, Paulson apparently arbitrarily changed an obscure rule in the tax code that gives a huge break to banks that buy other banks. It applies to other businesses possibly as well. But in this case, California is going to take an additional $2 billion revenue hit in the coming year when Wells Fargo takes advantage of that tax break in its takeover of Wachovia.
Yeah, it's even worse than that. As bad as we can imagine. I actually wrote a piece, the $700 billion bailout plan's fine print, and that fine print was part of the first three pages, and it made it through the several revisions into the 428-page final document, and that was that they had the authority to purchase, quote, mortgage-related assets under the Act, and it will be limited to $700 billion outstanding at any one time.
Yeah.
At any one time. So, and that language managed to stay in. So basically, it's an open
revolving credit line.
And the $700 billion, as you alluded to, has nothing to do with anything. It is a completely arbitrary number anyway, even if it made sense to give it or use it in a way that might be somewhat helpful to the financial condition of most of America, which it's not being used for. The loophole, yes, that was another issue. And worse than that is that banks, Wells Fargo was already a bank holding company bank, Goldman Sachs and Morgan Stanley, mm-hmm. led by Goldman Sachs, though, went up to the Fed and asked for themselves to become bank holding companies,
right.
which meant that although they were investment banks, they got to go and say, hey, Fed, could you make us bank holding companies so that they can go and purchase other banks? The result of all of this fallout will be that a couple of those investment banks, forget Wells Fargo taking the tax relief there, but the investment banks will wind up eating up effectively a lot of the commercial banks. They were allowed to change their status in order to do that. And that's really the bigger crime. That's worth much more than a $700 billion package, and that is still yet to come. So this is kind of the gift and philosophy that keeps on taking.
Well, and we had Hank Paulson up on the Hill this week, and I'm just baffled because they keep changing their plan for what they're doing with the money that's been allocated, and you use the phrase toxic waste to describe the troubled mortgages and the mortgage-backed securities and the other bets that are placed on those bundled products, investment products. And it's a huge mess, and nobody is really demanding straight answers. Sure, there have been some angry exchanges with Barney Frank and some of the other members of committees, but he's getting away with a huge heist of our money.
Yes. And again, it's a heist that will continue to evolve even after he leaves that post and to wherever he winds up advising or being in the banking industry when he leaves. The the heist and the continuation of what will need to be paid into, you know, years going forward has been set up by Paulson. And this week, as these conversations have been continuing and, you know, talking about the auto industry and talking about how the bailouts performed so far, without, you're right, the questions that should have been asked and should and could still be asked, which is, how many losses are we really expecting? What is on those balance sheets of those banks? Because that very little, simple, obvious question that one would ask before one bought anything.
Yeah.
Did not seem to be asked, and it's still not being asked. If I was a trader on Wall Street, and I was asked to purchase, you know, anything, and I did not know what it is. And mind you, many traders purchase a lot of stuff that they don't know what is in it. And that has been a part of the other problem that's gone on. A lot of pension funds have, a lot of states have, a lot of municipalities have. But I would ask what the potential downside is.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't pay for something unless I had an understanding of the downside. Then I can make the decision as to whether paying for it makes any sense.
Right.
That question could still be asked. It should still be asked. It wasn't asked in anything so far.
We're going to take a break and return. Nomi Prinz with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. She writes for Mother Jones, published the book called Other People's Money, and we'll talk more as we continue. If you have a question or comment and want to talk about bailouts, you're welcome to call. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. You're listening to KRXA 540.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, inexpensive Mandarin and Cantonese food prepared to order every day. The May family invites you to savor their authentic Chinese dishes and tasty soups like congee and wonton noodle. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.75 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget Jim's is tops for takeout and catering too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
Doing business in Santa Cruz County since 1950, Wilson's Tire and Service has two locations to serve you better wherever you live. Both locations feature full-service, friendly, fast, same-day service, or in the words of hands-on owner Juan Escamilla,
we're fast and fair, and service is job one at Wilson's Tire and Service.
One specializes in tire, brake, and alignment services with state-of-the-art equipment. Looking for fast, friendly, same-day service from experienced pros? Come to Wilson's Tire and Service, now located in Soquel Village at Old San Jose Road in Soquel Drive in Aptos Village, across from the entrance to Nicene Mark State Park. Questions? Give Juan a call at 476-0370. That's 476-0370. Say hello to Juan and get the Wilson's Tire and Service full service.
Don't forget to ask Juan how KRXA listeners can save an additional 10% at Wilson's Tire and Service.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
Robin's Jewelry in Carmel is open every day for your holiday and gift shopping. Robin's Jewelry is one of a kind, unique, and stylish. She uses sterling silver and semi-precious stones and will customize a keepsake right there on the spot. Robin is a native Carmel artist and silversmith. She's located inside the Dowd Craft Studio at Ocean and San Carlos. Robin has a big selection of organic bling. Great jewelry that's affordable. With free engraving and gift wrapping, go to Robin's Jewelry in Carmel.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Fia Kareem with your KRXA 540 AM traffic and weather report. Right now in King City on County Road G14 at San Lucas Road, we have a traffic hazard. Going south on San Lucas Road, there are six cows in the lanes for approximately 6 miles. We have two incidents in Santa Cruz. On southbound Highway 1 at Soquel Drive, there are two pedestrians on the right-hand shoulder. Next, on Green Valley Road at Litchfield Lane, there is a traffic collision with an ambulance responding. CHP is on the scene. In weather, tonight will be mostly clear. Lows will be in the 40s to lower 50s. That's traffic and weather on AM 540. Enjoy your afternoon and stay with the Peter B. Collins Show.
Kind of tired of him being tired. It's the Peter B. Collins Show. We're talking with journalist Nomi Prinz. She used to work on Wall Street, and she's telling us about it. Housing prices in California have declined by an average of 45%. My portfolio, what's left of it, down about the same. And I ask, what have I done to deserve this?
You always want to love her. How am I gonna get through? How am I gonna get through?
There go the Pet Shop Boys. 24 minutes after the hour, Nomi Prinz with us. And so, Nomi, built on the mess of the effort to bail out banks and Wall Street, we have General Motors, Chrysler, and Ford flying into Washington, the executives on their corporate jets, and that was a really dumb move that certainly doesn't help them in the court of public opinion. But beyond that, they didn't present any persuasive plan as to why it's intelligent for us to bail them out. And they're basically just trying to put a gun to our head and say, if you don't give us the money, Detroit's going to crumble, and it'll be all your fault. And we saw Dana Perino at the White House, where they're responsible for all the policies, the tax policies, the spending policies, the accounting practices. We've used Enron-style accounting to deal with the cost of the war and occupation in Iraq. And they had the chutzpah to say that, well, you know, if Congress doesn't bail out Detroit between now and January while they're on vacation, she said, it's really a break between sessions, then it'll be all their fault. I'm just stunned.
It's incredible. I mean, it's the same logic that Paulson brought in for the banking industry when he said if we don't get, you know, if Congress doesn't allocate $700 billion worth of money, then the sky is going to fall and everything will collapse, which it's doing quite a good job at anyway, regardless of having put in the money. So that kind of gives you a bit of a foreshadowing. I mean, yeah, the private jet thing was definitely dumb. It was actually dumb for two reasons. One, because they were private jets and it was just odd to be asking for money riding in on them. Another is because you're trying to make the point, if you have any leg to stand on, that your future cars be good and that people, let's say things sort themselves out, might actually buy them, which is the only way you're actually going to make any money to cover your expenses. Why don't you drive your cars in? I didn't understand that either. But
well, I offered free PR advice to them. I said that Rick Wagner should have responded, oh, no, I drove here. In fact, I came in Prince's red Corvette.
New Ford model, whatever. But yes, yeah. So that just shows you what we already know. But you know, the idea of asking for money and without that, the sky will fall. I think Congress is right to say, you know, how will that money actually be used? Because they haven't asked that question, and they're still not asking that question in the banking industry.
Yeah, but I mean, I think that Pelosi and Reid should be embarrassed for their complicity in the first bailout, and it appears that their members prevented them from really plunging over the cliff with another mistake here. Let me jump in here with Deborah in Carmel by the Sea. Go ahead, Deborah. You got a good question for us.
Hi, Ms. Prince. I was given information about a month ago, and what I was told was that Secretary Treasury Paulson's ex-company, Goldman Sachs, has about 25% of its investment money tied up in AIG. hints to me, if that is in fact true, the Secretary of Treasury, when he was throwing tens of billions of dollars, now over 100 billions of dollars, our money, at AIG, it was done without disclosing this pre-existing relationship between the two.
So, so Nomi, does Paulson still own some shares in Goldman?
No, he actually sold his shares, converted them into Treasury bonds, and basically, therefore, did not pay capital gains, I believe, on them when he converted them to Treasury bonds to become the Treasury Secretary. I think he made like $100-something million off of the...
140. 140 is the number I remember.
There you go. I thought it was 120. But, you know, give or take. But yeah, he did actually convert his stock in a very nice tax play into Treasury bonds.
Wish we had more time. Deborah, thank you for your question. And Nomi, thank you for your time today. And I'd like to talk with you again and get more of your views. I think this soap opera will continue.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it.
Nomi Prince, NOMIPRINS.com. Check it out. Oh, and she has a novel out called The Trail under a pseudonym. You can check that out, too.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Show us the plan. This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
Until they show us the plan, we cannot show them the money.
Last Tuesday, the automobile CEOs arrived in Washington in their private jets, carrying briefcases packed with arrogance, and went home empty-handed because they had no plan. And House Speaker Nancy Pelosi wants to see one.
Hopefully in another week or two, we will see a plan that can take us viably into the future with accountability to the American people before we spend another dollar of their tax dollar.
And so, America, I am predicting right now that the auto companies will be back with a plan, which will show that they can take us viably into the future with accountability to the American people. The curious thing is, if they can come up with that plan by December 2nd, why didn't they have it ready last Tuesday? Last Tuesday, Senator Bob Corker gave them the perfect opening to announce their viable and accountable plan.
Let me ask you this. I mean, would y'all make the pledge that if you get the $25 billion, you'll never be back to see us again?
Well, I think if you could make the pledge to us that the U.S. economy will turn around on a certain point in time, then and the financial markets will rejuvenate, we'd be very glad to do that.
You see, their plan last Tuesday was, we promise not to be back if you promise to fix the economy. Well, there's only one thing that's guaranteed. And Senator Corker pretty quickly figured that out.
You're going to be back, aren't you?
Yes, they are. And this time, they'll promise viability and accountability. And if they're smart, they'll arrive on bicycles. Now this.
You've got spam in your email now.
Whoa. The holiday season is coming soon, and with it, the onslaught of email-based spam, viruses, spoofing, phishing, and spyware attacks. Keep your business safe this holiday season by installing a Barracuda Spam Firewall, the world's number one selling anti-spam solution. With no software to install and no per-user fees, it's the simplest, most cost-effective way to stop dreaded holiday spam. Call 888-ANTI-SPAM now for your free trial, 888-ANTI-SPAM, or go to Barracuda.com.
This is Dave Ross on the CBS Radio Network.
This is the Media Matters Minute. I'm Ben Fischel. Our top item today on his radio program, Fox News' Bill O'Reilly, argued that if states allow same-sex couples to marry, they would be required, under equal protection, to allow polygamous marriages.
You get to a situation where if you're going to change the definition of marriage for gays, then you have to change it across the board.
You can just say between two people.
You can't. Not under equal protection.
In fact, the California Supreme Court's May 15th decision explicitly stated that the state's Constitution Equal Protection Clause covered same-sex marriage but did not extend to polygamy. But today's most ridiculous comment goes to talk radio host Michael Savage discussing life in the Obama administration.
I am telling you that there's going to be a wholesale firing of competent white men in the United States government up and down the line, in police departments, in fire departments. Everywhere in America you're going to see an exchange that you've never seen in history, and it's not going to be necessarily for the betterment of this country.
For these stories and more, visit MediaMatters.org.
Turn off your mind, relax, and float downstream with the Quantum Leap, 9 p.m. Saturday.
Turn off your mind, relax, and float downstream. It is not dying.
This is Bob Oliver inviting you to participate in the Quantum Leap. Raise issues, ask questions. Together we find answers and solutions. And think for yourself on 540 AM, KRXA 540.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
And like any antidote, we suggest you apply it liberally. So, do you like the fish? Or shall I put it this way, did you used to enjoy fishing? Do you like to eat fish? Or should I put it this way, did you like to eat fresh fish? Fish stocks in California are under tremendous pressure at great risk. That's what we're going to discuss this half hour with a great guy whose name happens to be Peter B. Joining me now is Peter B. Moyle. He is a professor at UC Davis, a professor of conservation biology. Professor, thanks for joining me today.
Glad to do it, Peter B.
That has a nice ring to it, doesn't it?
It does. I really like it.
Well, it served me very well over the years, I have to say. And for you, do you actually use the middle initial? Because I find it helps prevent people from calling me Pete.
Exactly. No, I've gone by Peter all my life. And made sure people call me that. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, good. Good. We have that in common. Well, I want to thank you for your work. The San Francisco Chronicle published a story this past Thursday on a lengthy 316-page study that you conducted under the auspices of the California Trout Fish Advocacy Group.
Right.
And the findings are very distressing. And it mirrors what I've heard from my friends who are salmon fishermen or fish out in the ocean for various other species. Give us a quick summation here of the fish populations that are at risk, and then I'd like to talk about some of the factors contributing to that.
Sure. Well, the bottom line is that California has 32 distinct kinds of salmon and trout, and most of these are found no place else but California. And of those distinct kinds, the one's already extinct, that's the bull trout, and of the remainder, 65% of them are likely to be extinct within this century, if not before, by the end of the century, if not before. So, and on top of that, of course, the fisheries themselves are going downhill pretty rapidly.
Mm-hmm. And, Peter, I want you to know that we have listeners to this program in California from the Central Coast up through San Francisco and Eureka, but also in Oregon and Washington State. So to the extent that these phenomena we're talking about extend to our neighbors to the north, feel free to mention that. One of the issues here relates to, of course, river flows and the diversion of river water by dams. And that has affected the temperature of the water, and fish need colder water to spawn. And this is a significant contributor to the risk factors you cite, even before we take a look at climate change issues that are warming the waters for a different reason.
Yeah, that's right. And it's a classic problem that we've dammed up most of the rivers, and the biggest dams have been in the 1940s, 50s, and 60s. And so we've cut off a lot of the habitat that used to exist for these fishes. And so they're having to survive in less habitat because of the dams. And then because we divert the water, what's left tends to be warmer. And if there's anything salmon and trout need, it's cold water. Cold, clean water, I should say. So that's the sort of the bottom line for these fish.
And the dams are also a barrier, and even with fish ladders, many fish die because of these obstructions for various reasons, the currents and their inability to get upstream at times. Is that fair to say?
Yes, it's very fair to say. In fact, most of the the downside of the serious problems in California and actually throughout Oregon and Washington as well don't have fish ladders over them.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them do, but the majority of them do not because they're so high and the reservoirs behind them are so big, there's just no place to for the salmon to go. And also, many of them were constructed before we really cared much about the salmon.
Mm-hmm. And Peter B. Moyle, we learned recently that a company owned by Warren Buffett has finally agreed, this is PacifiCorp, to remove four dams on the Klamath River that have been a source of great controversy and irritation to those who care about the fish and about the river ecosystems in general. But it's going to take some time. These dams won't be removed immediately. And do you see this as an important step, particularly for the Klamath Basin?
Oh, yeah, of course. It's a step because these dams are coming down. It'll open up a lot of habitat upstream that's been missing. Unfortunately, the Klamath has lots of problems that won't be resolved by taking down the dams. My biggest fear about those particular dams, we'll take them down and the fish won't respond as well as you might expect because we still, there's just some severe shortage of cold water in the system from other causes.
Mm-hmm. So now let's talk about the impact of climate change. We get almost daily reports now of phenomena that are observable as the climate moves north. I saw a report today regarding the Arctic, and some of the sea life there is responding the way it might along the California coast. And I talked to a marine biologist at UC Santa Cruz a year or so ago who told me that the Santa Cruz area, the coastline, the reefs, and other features there now resemble the area around Long Beach or Malibu 10 or 15 years ago. So we really have very clear evidence of this climate march northward along the Pacific coast.
That's right. And what that will do is it basically will reduce the amount of stream habitat that's available. But it also tells us that because it warms up the water, that we need to do everything we can to keep that water cool. And along the north coast up in Oregon and Washington, that includes really managing our forests better, for example, so that we continue to have lots of shading and have these big trees that catch the ocean fog that really helps keep the streams cooler, as well as, of course, managing our dams better to make sure we let out cool water, more cold water when that's available, and reducing the amount of water that's used for irrigation. You know, one of the problems with a lot of irrigated areas, even in the Pacific Northwest, is that they'll take water out of a stream, run it across a field, and then the excess water goes back into the stream, only it's 10, 15 degrees warmer than it was before,
mm-hmm.
meaning it warms up the entire stream.
And to what extent does agriculture, even before we talk about diverting significant amounts of water, but does the water that's used and then ends up back in the rivers from agriculture that then contains pesticides, and of course it's been out of the river, so if it's been in ditches or irrigation trenches, then it warms as well, and as it comes back into the system, you certainly gain temperature. It warms up that body of water.
That's right. But, you know, agriculture is just one of the many stressors on the systems that we have. You know, logging's a problem. Roads are a problem because they dump lots of silt into our rivers. So it's, in a more general sense, it's how we use our land, you know, that's creating many of the problems. You know, we have this joint problem. Everything we do on the land winds up in the water because everything rolls downhill into the streams. At the same time, there's less water in the streams because we're diverting it, so it can't carry away the pollutants and so forth. So it's a two-edged sword that these fish are faced with. Not enough water, and then a lot of activity on the land that's making the reducing the quality of the water and the habitats that are left.
Mm-hmm. So short term, Peter, what are your suggestions about what we as individual fish consumers or people who enjoy fishing, that's fishermen or fisherwomen, I don't want to exclude the girls.
Call them anglers.
Okay, anglers, there we go. Well, but that's Dick Cheney's Secret Service code name. I have trouble with that.
Okay, and, I didn't realize that.
And Dick, by the way, Dick Cheney, this is a little stream of consciousness here, so forgive me, but he personally intervened with the Department of the Interior over water diversions to agriculture in the Klamath Basin in a political effort to help Gordon Smith, who was recently defeated in his bid for re-election to the United States Senate from Oregon. And why don't you comment on that for a moment, because I find that remarkable that there's a story in Bart Gellman's book called Angler about Dick Cheney, about how one morning a very mid-level person at the Department of Interior went to work, and here's a voicemail from somebody who says he's Dick Cheney. And he says, I'd like to talk to you about this, that, and the other thing related to the Klamath. Give me a call. And he stumbles. He says, I don't know what the number is, but it's over at the White House, so call me. And they thought it was a spoof. So later in the day, Cheney had one of his people make another call to the same person, and they said, is there a reason you haven't called the vice president back? And he or she said, well, I didn't think it was really Dick Cheney. But it shows how he drilled down into the bureaucracy to try to wriggle things or wiggle things around to serve political interests and those who support the Republican Party.
Well, you know, but it's more importantly, it's a case up there of, as it is in many parts of the West, where we have unsustainable agriculture taking place, unsustainable in the sense that it requires subsidized water and subsidized power to function. Now, we have people who have got three or four generations on the land who are promised all these things, but it's different today. That's one of the problems. And, of course, the agricultural practices of removing large amounts of water from the rivers and warming it up are very hard on the fish. And that's one of the choices, frankly, we're making today. Hopefully with a change in Washington, we're making a change now more on the side of the fish as opposed on the side of abusing the water.
Well, and I'd put it a little bit more broadly that I'd like to see a return to a reliance on science.
Yes. And I agree. I mean, this is one of the things I liked about working in this particular report, as a matter of fact, because California Trout, which found the money to hire the postdoc and graduate students to help me out to do this, because it was a huge job, they said, what we want is to do the best you can with all the stuff, with the existing information that's available. In other words, be the good scientist, come up with your best assessment of what's going on. And you notice that we have two reports, the one that they've generated, the one that I generated. And of course, they're taking the more political aspects of it and running with them.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Professor Peter B. Moyle, University of California, Davis, where he's a professor of conservation biology. If you have a question or comment, you can call me now, toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. Put down your fishing rod and call me, 888-573-8372. And before I interrupted myself with that digression about Dick Cheney, regarding anglers, what should people who enjoy fishing, how should they operate here? Should they plan to develop a new hobby? Should they give up on enjoying seafood? Should we just say, well, we got to change our lifestyles because these are not sustainable stocks?
Well, the way to get involved here is get involved in your local watershed. That's to me on my first line of advice. Everybody lives in a watershed, and every watershed in the state, whether it's all the way from San Diego up to the Oregon border, every watershed in the state needs help in the sense of protecting the water supplies, improving the habitat for fish, and a whole host of other things. And that generally improves water quality for people as well, which is one of the nice side benefits of improving watersheds for fish. So at one point, everybody can get involved in doing something local, because this is the kind of conservation problems which are statewide, and they involve hundreds of the need for hundreds or even thousands of individual actions. So that's sort of the first thing, just getting involved in local watershed protection. And we have an amazing number of watershed groups around the state. And California Trout is one of these groups that sort of coordinates a lot of different activities and tries to take some leadership in these kind of actions. So that's certainly one thing. When it comes to eating fish, just being very careful on what it is. I love fish, and I eat fewer, less and less of them all the time just because it's hard to figure out what's sustainable these days and what's not. But, for example, there are some stocks of salmon in Alaska that are certified to be managed in a sustainable fashion. And it's great to actually buy those to support the fishermen up there. At a local basis, I want fishermen to keep fishing because they get involved that way. They really care about the waters. Anybody who spends time on a stream learns to love it and wants to protect it. And that's one thing, one of the things that anglers really have going for them. They love the streams because they get out on there. And that's what's happening now, of course, is this shift from the old, you keep every fish you catch, increasingly to catch and release angling, because that angling, the fishermen figure, well, the fish, you put the fish back again, you can continue to enjoy your fishing without depleting the stocks.
Well, that's an interesting point. Peter, we're going to run to a break here, but I'll just tell you briefly that my Republican neighbor, Hank, is an outdoorsman, too, and where we do find common ground is often on environmental issues. So you make a good point there about engaging people in their own watershed and in their own pleasurable activities. We'll continue with UC Davis Professor Peter B. Moyle in just a moment. Lines are open if you want to talk with us at 888-5-PETER-B. You've got the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Good afternoon. This is Fia Kareem with your KRXA 540 AM traffic and weather report. Right now in King City, there is a traffic hazard on County Road G14 at San Lucas Road. Cows are on the side of the road. On Highway 1 at Castle House, there is a shovel in lane number 1. Moving on to Santa Cruz on Route 9, just north of Boulder Creek Bridge, a small bike has been thrown into the lane. So use caution there. CHP is on the way. In weather right now, Monterey is 55 degrees, Salinas is 64 degrees, and Santa Cruz is 63 degrees. That's traffic and weather on AM 540. Have a fantastic afternoon and stay with Peter B. Collins.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
How would you like to stop your taxes from paying for war? You can support the War Tax Option Act, which adds a checkbox to your tax form that stops your taxes from funding war. This frees up your tax money to pay for other vital programs that you care about. For more information, call 831-521-6042 or visit wartaxoption.org.
You're listening to the greatest talk radio station on the planet, west of the Mississippi, along the Pacific coast, in California, below Davenport, above Lucia, and west of the Gavilan Mountains. KRXA 540. Think for yourself.
Peter B. Collins Show rolls on, brought to you by the Organic Wine Company. You like organic fruits and vegetables, fresh fish? Wash it down with some fine organic wine from France. Log on to is it? Sorry, I can't remember the website, but the commercial's coming up in a few minutes. It'll tell you. EcoWine.com. There you go. Coming up next hour, Brad Friedman, our election integrity guy, is taking the week off. Shannon Moore will join us from Alaska. We'll talk about Ted Stevens' swan song and the actual election of a Democrat there, number 58. It's number 58 in the Democratic count in the United States Senate. And also next hour, Congresswoman Barbara Lee from Oakland will join us. She's just been freshly elected as chair of the Congressional Black Caucus. So that's coming up next hour here on the Peter B. Collins Show. We continue with Professor Peter B. Moyle from the University of California at Davis. And Peter, I have a website link at the San Francisco Chronicle to read your report that's pretty simple. Do you have one that's simpler?
I guess the caltrout.org.
Oh, good. That's nice and simple.
Yeah.
Caltrout.org.
Yeah.
Okay. And people can find the executive summary and the full report there?
Yes, they can. They can find the whole thing there. And the Caltrout version of the report is really spectacular graphics and pictures in it. So look at the pictures even if you don't want to read the depressing text at times.
Okay, that's great. Now, what do you see on a policy level that our government, either at the state or federal level, should be doing to try to protect these threatened fish stocks?
Well, you obviously have to realize that the government agencies have been unable to do the job they should be doing, and that's demonstrated just by the fact that we got so many populations that are in severe collapse. The fact that coho salmon, for example, used to be a couple hundred thousand of them coming into our streams in the 1950s, and now they're down to less than 5,000, and I think it's quite a bit less than that now. So this tells you that the fisheries agencies have not been able to do their job, and the land management agencies the same way have not been able to do their job. So it's pretty clear we need to re-energize these agencies. The California Department of Fish and Game, for example, has a lot of legal tools that they can use to protect streams and get more water from dams. But by and large, they choose not to use them because it's just too hard. You know, you have to actually stand up to people. And, of course, they're... the Department of Fish and Game is in the Department of Natural Resources in California, which is dominated by the Department of Water Resources.
Yeah. And is there also a dominance of agribusiness over the interests of fish and wildlife?
Well, it's not just agribusiness. It's this whole idea that we've relegated all of these very important environmental agencies, the National Fish and Wildlife, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, the National Marine Fisheries Service, the Department of Fish and Game, into being very small agencies, with big responsibilities, so they just get overwhelmed. And that's not going to change until we actually provide both a better structure for these agencies, provide better leadership for them, and really let them do the job that they're supposed to do. They should be the advocates for the fish, but by and large, they're not.
Mm-hmm. And so that requires political backbone from the legislature to beef up either by statute or by budget, the work of fish and wildlife?
Yeah, that's certainly one thing. More money never hurts, but that's only part of the problem. The Department of Fish and Game, for example, has some marvelous sections of the Fish and Game Code that could be used very effectively in many situations. Everybody who alters the stream is supposed to have a permit from the Department of Fish and Game that assures that the stream won't be irreversibly harmmed. These things are called 1600 permits. By and large, they're just issued routinely, and people can pretty much do what they want. It's things like that if you started actually using those as tools to protect and improve streams, you could do a lot, at the local level, because that's where the action is, of course, is at the local level for any of these fish.
Now, Peter, at the end of the week, the San Francisco Chronicle science reporter Jane Kay, who wrote the piece that told me about your report, published another story regarding stocking streams with hatchery-raised fish.
Mm-hmm.
And the report here says state wildlife officials will stop stocking some streams with hatchery-raised fish while resource managers figure out if the practice harms native fish, amphibians, and insects. In particular, related to the salmon stocks that we've been discussing, is the hatchery enhancement an option here? Or you can't really grow salmon in a hatchery, is that right?
Well, this is a really tricky issue because our fisheries in California today, what's left of them, are supported by hatchery fish. That is, the salmon fisheries are, because it's mostly one or two runs of salmon that are in the hatcheries. The problem is the more we depend on the hatcheries for salmon, the more our wild stocks decline. Mm. And the wild stocks decline both because of interactions with all these hatchery fish. We're dumping all these poorly adapted hatchery fish into the environment where they compete for resources with the wild fish, so the wild fish populations decline further. Plus, there's no way a fisherman can discriminate between a wild and a hatchery fish, so that further contributes to the decline of the wild fish. So essentially, we're losing this resiliency that our wild populations have and replacing it with uniform hatchery fish that don't know how to respond to the changing environment.
Mm-hmm. Peter, thank you for joining me today. I learned a lot, and I appreciate the work you're doing to try to alert people to the dangers to our fish stocks here in California.
You're welcome.
That's Peter B. Moyle, professor at UC Davis of Conservation Biology. Stay tuned for more here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
This is Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. I've created a special offer for you to try my French wines made from organically grown grapes. For a limited time, when you buy two bottles, you get one bottle free, and I'll even pay for the shipping. I know you love the taste of these handcrafted wines from my ancestors' lands, especially if you care about our planet and your health. Imagine, you can have organic French wine delivered to your door for less than $12 a bottle. I've made this free wine and free shipping offer available to you because I believe you'll become a lifelong customer once you've tasted our wines. The French Bouquet Collection at ecowine.com includes my red Chateau Véronique from Languedoc, my white Viognier, and my Blanquette de Limoux sparkling wine. All French, organically grown, and affordable.
For free delivery, click on ecowine.com/Peter B. That's ecowine.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. Better late than never, the Dow regained some of this week's losses in a late afternoon rally that boosted the Dow by 494 points. It was the stock market's reaction to reports that Barack Obama will soon have his economic team in place. CBS News correspondent Chip Reed reports.
In a week of grim economic developments, the stock market climbed on news that New York Federal Reserve President Timothy Geithner is Mr. Obama's choice for Treasury Secretary. Hillary Clinton's decision today to accept the job of Secretary of State reportedly came only after additional conversations with Mr. Obama to make sure she's comfortable with the idea of the two former rivals working together.
As Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton would have star power but a thin resume, says CBS News political director Steve Jagaris.
She has not served on any kind of international relations type committee. She was on the Armed Services Committee, which gives her a little bit of insight into the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq. But this was a criticism that Obama levied against her during the campaign, that she was not qualified based on foreign policy experience. There's no question she's a smart woman. There's no question she's tough. There's no question that she's well-respected by world leaders.
New Mexico Governor Bill Richardson, who has lots of foreign policy experience, is a serious contender for Commerce Secretary. And according to the New York Times, former Treasury Secretary Lawrence Summers will be brought in as an Obama economic advisor with the expectation that he might be Fed chairman when Ben Bernanke's term expires in 14 months. The White House says it's appalling that Congress left town without acting on the crisis in the U.S. auto industry. Before they offer any money, Democratic leaders want to see the automakers' plans for long-term viability. Michigan Governor Jennifer Granholm, in a speech today, said a robust auto industry is essential to the nation's future.
The manufacturing industry, the auto industry in particular, will be the way that the U.S. becomes independent of foreign oil and becomes energy independent.
Executives of the Big Three came in for criticism when they went to Washington to plead for a bailout in their corporate jets. Now GM and Ford say their aircraft fleets are being trimmed. Nebraska's safe haven law, allowing parents to abandon children at hospitals no questions asked, had unintended consequences. Parents were dropping off kids as old as 17. Today, Governor Dave Heineman signed an amendment to the law establishing an age limit of 30 days.
We look forward to the broader discussion now about teenagers and what we should be doing.
The conference board surveyed 5,000 households on their holiday shopping plans.
Consumers told us they intend to spend about $418 on gifts this Christmas season, which is down considerably from last year's estimate of $471.
Lynn Franco says retailers will have to bend over backward to get their business. The price of oil finished the week below $50 a barrel. This is CBS News.
At Ace, people are lining up to talk to our Santa's helpers for help decorating their homes their way.
Excuse me. Hi. I want to put up a lot of Christmas lights this year. I'm talking big. I mean Volvorama. I want astronauts in outer space looking down saying, whoa. Can you help me?
No problem. When it comes to holiday decorations, Ace is the place to find everything you'll need. Buy 100 count of mini lights for just $6.99. Wednesday through Monday at Ace, the holiday helpful place. Sale price is good at participating Ace hardware stores while supplies last. See store for details.
Guys, the men's store inside JCPenney makes it easy to get in, find it, and get out, especially during the huge sale with the men's buy one, get one free sale. Buy one casual shirt, get the second one free. Buy a fleece top or sweater, and the second one is free. You get the deal, and you can get the deal on dress shirts, dress clothing, big and tall, and young men's tops and jeans. There's a lot to like, but it's buy one, get one free. Style, quality, and price matter. Every day matters. JCPenney.
That free Dr. Pepper you've been waiting for? It's finally time. CBS's Sam Litzinger explains.
Guns N' Roses.
Welcome to the jungle.
Led by frontman Axl Rose, the guy with the air raid siren voice, ruled the hard rock roost until the early 90s when the band split up. Axl then went to work on an album that took 14 years to finish. Chinese Democracy, scheduled for release on Sunday. It's a whole new Guns N' Roses, except for Axl. The album was so long in the making that Dr. Pepper folks had promised everyone in America a free soda if the thing ever came out. The company says coupons will be available on its website. Sam Litzinger, CBS News.
The library in Roxbury, Vermont, in operation since 1934, had no restroom until this month. Patrons who had to go next door to the Congregational Church, which kept its doors open to accommodate them. The only problem, according to a deacon, was that some people would bring a book and stay too long. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
How to properly insulate your wallet. Step 1. Go to the Home Depot and purchase insulation. Step 2. Seal your home and install insulation. It can help save up to 20% on your heating and cooling costs. Step 3. Use the money you save to insulate your wallet.
At the Home Depot, we've lowered the price on over 1,000 products throughout the store to help you get ready for winter, including energy-efficient items like insulation. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help. See store for details.
Nibble, nosh, savor, devour.
Kim, what are you talking about?
What I'm going to do with the Holiday Taste of Sam's Club.
Holiday Taste of
Sam's Club, where I can sample the perfect holiday meal before I host my own. Lobster ravioli, ooh, spiral glazed ham, mm, decadent chocolate layer cake. Ooh. Live chef events, too.
Don't miss the Holiday Taste of Sam's Club. Friday, November 21st through Sunday, November 23rd, 10:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. Not a member? Join during the event and receive a $10 gift card. Restrictions apply. See club for details.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
This marks hour number 30 of Peter B. Collins behind the microphone this week, and I'm starting to lose it. I'm going to do my best to hang on. I'm certainly looking forward to a restful weekend. Later this hour, Congresswoman Barbara Lee, who votes for me, she'll be here on the program. And in a moment, we'll go to Alaska.
And the sign said, long-haired, freaky people need not apply. So I stuck my hair up under my hat and I went in to ask
Every week about this time, we set aside an hour to talk about election integrity issues, starring my regular co-host, Brad Friedman, from bradblog.com. Brad has taken a well-deserved day off. In fact, he'll be off for a couple of weeks, and he's traveling to the Midwest to spend Thanksgiving with his family. He's also nursing a sore wrist from all that blogging activity. He's got a carpal tunnel problem. So if you go to bradblog.com, you'll see a little less of Brad and a little more from the Bradettes. That's a Ray Charles joke. Anyway, I wish Brad all the best. And Shannon is going to join us from Alaska here in just a moment. And later this hour, we'll talk with Congresswoman Barbara Lee, who is the new chair of the Congressional Black Caucus. And Shannon Moore has been a go-to person regarding the protracted election issues stemming from the November 4th election related to the Senate seat of convicted felon Ted Stevens. The election was resolved this week. And Stevens is leaving the United States Senate. We'll talk about his tearful farewell in just a moment. Shannon Moore, welcome to our program today.
Oh, wow. Thanks so much for having me on hour 30.
Well,
good Lord.
You were on hour 3 on Monday, so thank you for, I think we rolled you out of bed or rousted you for that one on Monday. So
that was pretty early.
I want to thank you for your service to the talk radio cause this week on both ends of the week.
Oh, my pleasure. Absolutely.
Now, I understand that you are stuck in traffic. What did you have, like an 8 dog sled pile up?
You know, sadly, yesterday there was a dog musher killed by being hit with a snow machine. So, you know, Alaska, we just don't have the same kind of headlines they do other places.
I guess.
So, you know, no, it's just, you know, kind of slick roads, and it's Friday, and, you know, the people on Rapture Watch have decided maybe this is the weekend, so they're all at Costco and, you know, keeping us all busy.
Well, does that mean you might be left behind?
Oh, no. I actually, you know, when I did see a bumper sticker earlier that says, if you're raptured, can I have your car? And I just thought, that's just so great. It's like, you know, that's good framing when you're looking for the very best, even from being left behind. Hey, do I get your stuff? I thought it was very funny. I think if it ever did happen, people would be surprised at who was left.
Well, you know, I've been working on my meekness because they say that the meek shall inherit the earth.
Hey. Wow, there's a thought.
But
I don't know if in the shape it's in right now,
right.
If you really want it.
And I don't know if meek will ever be something that I can achieve, Shannon. So I love kibitzing with you. I want to talk about the Ted Stevens problem, which you can now look at in your rearview mirror.
Well, kind of. I kind of can. You know, I've never not had Senator Stevens. I mean, he's been a senator longer than I've been alive. And it's been really interesting. I know Mark Begich very well. I have a great friendship and respect for him, and there's so much promise in his election, and it's very exciting. But, you know, Ted Stevens today, one of the key witnesses, came out from his conviction trial of 7 convictions and said that he had been coached by people and that some of the things that he had said weren't true. So, you know, it's just the ongoing saga of the Corrupt Bastards Club.
Yeah. And he gave this farewell in the Senate. It's very interesting because midweek, Mitch McConnell, the Republican leader, the minority leader in the Senate, got up and gave a speech on the floor and offered farewells to a lot of the departing senators, some who lost their elections, some who are retiring, like Pete Domenici of New Mexico, none too soon. And he didn't mention Ted Stevens in any way, shape, or form. And Stevens has been in the Senate for 36 years, been in Washington for 40 years, and you would think, despite the specter of his conviction and this protracted election, that there would be at least a mention of, oh, yeah, and by the way, Ted Stevens is going back to Alaska to spend more time with his lawyers.
You know, people in Washington just aren't as endeared to him as apparently people in Alaska. It's very, I don't even know what to tell you. I mean, they don't love him there.
Mm-hmm.
He's been kind of a badger.
But in Alaska, there is a lot of love that lives on for Ted Stevens. Based on the vote tally here, it seems that a lot of people weren't the least bit offended by his conviction for failing to report huge gifts that he received.
Well, I think part of what happens up here, it is pretty sparse for folks. I mean, 650,000 people for a state over twice the size of Texas. You know, you have to be pretty forgiving, and you have to, because you're going to need it, because word gets around.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I don't think it's that people thought it was okay necessarily, even though certainly Ted Stevens and Lisa Murkowski both, she's our other senator, Lisa Murkowski,
right.
They ran a television ad saying the jury was corrupt. The jury was corrupt and Ted's innocent. And when you've got both of your state senators running those ads, there was sort of a sympathy for that.
Now, wait a minute. Murkowski wasn't up for re-election. Why was she running ads?
She was running ads on Ted Stevens' behalf.
No.
Oh, yes, she was.
Wow.
I was shocked.
I've never seen that before.
Yeah, well, you know, that her family's been very tight. Her father, of course, Senator Murkowski, who became governor and appointed her in a big flourish of nepotism.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, she felt like she owed Ted Stevens a lot. And I was stunned to see her do that.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's amazing. Now, Shannon Moore in Alaska, I wanted to just share with you, in case you hadn't seen these before, Harper's Magazine, in its December issue, published some transcripts from the FBI wiretaps of conversations between Bill Allen, the Vico Corporation guy who did all the remodeling and gave gifts to Ted Stevens and underreported the cost of all that, and that's the basis of Stevens' failure to report it in his Senate disclosure forms. And these wiretaps are priceless. Let me just read two excerpts here. August 31st of 06, Ted Stevens calls Bill Allen. Hey, Bill, I wonder if you're going to be around Sunday. Catherine has in mind replacing those black couches at the chalet. I guess this is how Ted suggested things that he wanted Bill to do for him. Bill Allen responds kind of down in the dumps. Yeah, hey, Ted, the FBI got a warrant and searched my house and the office. They asked me what I'd done on your house. And I said, well, he's paid for everything, and I just told him I wouldn't talk to him. Stevens, okay, good. I had an inkling something was up, but I don't know what it is. Allen, well, they're asking me about the labor charges, and I don't know what they've done with the invoices and all that. Stevens, I'll talk to Catherine about that. I'll get back to you later today, Billy. And then in a subsequent conversation, October 18, Stevens speaking first. My lawyers told me we ought to try to avoid looking like we're meeting where we wouldn't be overheard. They point out that, what's her name, who went to jail, Martha Stewart? She didn't go to jail because she did something wrong. She went to jail because she lied about a conversation she had with somebody. So you and I ought to wait this thing out. They really haven't filed a charge yet, and maybe what we've done leaves an impression that we've done something wrong. But you have to make up your mind you're doing something wrong to be really guilty of a crime. We don't want to get ourselves there by trying to do something that leads to a different kind of charge. And then Allen tries to interrupt, but Stevens keeps going. He says, no, I understand, but the appearance of what we're doing leads them to that conclusion. I think they're probably listening to this conversation right now, for Christ's sake. So he suspected what Bill Allen knew. Allen was cooperating with the FBI, knew what was that this conversation was being recorded. Stevens suspected it and even blurted it out loud. It's amazing.
Yeah, it really is. It's amazing that people that make laws think they're above them in many instances, not just with Alaskan lawmakers. But I can tell you, you know, the FBI came into Alaska, and they did a pretty full sweep, and there's still people left to be indicted. But, you know, Bill Allen, you know, from the ground up kind of, you know, businessman, you know, came from nothing and created this sort of oil empire. You know, he was basically the contractor that worked for all the big oil companies.
Mm-hmm.
And I sat through many trials of our state legislators who had sold their votes to Bill Allen, and he was basically the bag man for oil companies. And at one point he said to a legislator, I own your ass.
Mm.
And he did. And so you're like, and now his ass is in jail, and I don't know who owns it.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, I'm looking at what has happened through, you know, basically it's just a complete colonization of the state of Alaska. You know, you look at any sort of industry that goes in and colonizes a country, and what they, first thing they do is buy out their political system.
Mm-hmm.
And
now,
that's what has happened here. And, you know, it's, I don't know who's above it. I really don't.
Now, Shannon, a lot of important and valid questions have been raised about the conduct of this election and the vote count. It took forever. The turnout appeared depressed or manipulated. There are some thoughts that Stevens may have had friends who were working to try to manipulate the vote count. Do you think that there is an appetite for election reform and a full investigation of what occurred in this election in Alaska?
I think that there is an appetite for it on some levels. Now, the Democratic Party of Alaska, as you know, sued for the 2004 tabulator files from our Diebold machine. And once they, you know, it took them, you know, over a year in court, once they did get a hold of them, the computer forensics people said, well, these have all been tampered with in the last, you know, since the judge said that they had to turn them over. So we know that was a tampered with election. And now looking at this election, we still have the same machines. I'm not saying it's anything nefarious on the part of Department of Elections necessarily, but those machines aren't exactly difficult for someone even remotely to change something. So I do think that we're looking at really investigating it. There was supposed to be a release of information today to the Democratic Party that it sued for more information. And we'll see how it pans out. I mean, basically, we're still below the percentage of turnout than we had in 2004.
Uh-huh.
That's kind of hard to believe still for me.
Hey, Shannon, but you know the radio game. I got to run to a break here. Do you have time to stay with us for one more segment?
Sure.
Okay, great. We'll pick up there as we continue, and she's got a great story about Sarah Palin and some turkeys. That's what we'll continue with. Shannon Moore in Alaska. See, I am losing it. Shannon Moore will be back with us in just a moment here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540.
Hey, this is Tom Hartman for Dr. Daniel Turner. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry for 35 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place before your first oral examination. He interviews every new patient so he understands what is important to you, and because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street in downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. For all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Go ahead. Take a deep breath. Yeah, there's nothing like that new car insurance smell.
I love it.
Want to take it for a test drive?
Sure.
Wouldn't it be great if you could test drive car insurance? Well, maybe you can.
Notice all the impressive standard features. Good neighbor service for extra comfort and stability. And look how great it handles around those hairpin turns in your budget.
Check out the company 40 million other drivers trust, State Farm. No one gives more discounts to more drivers, and nobody takes care of you like a State Farm agent.
Who's that?
That's your built-in security system. Your very own State Farm agent.
Hi, nice to meet you.
Hey there, and who are those guys?
Oh, that's your award-winning claims department.
Wow.
So talk to a State Farm agent today and kick the tires on our car insurance. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I'm Justin Hamble, your Monterey Bay State Farm agent. Call me today at 831-688-3683. That's 688-3683.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family-owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey, reminds you to please drink responsibly.
KRXA is the radio home of Central Coast Sports. Join us this fall as KRXA 540 brings you the high school football game of the week. Hi, this is Rob Ponce. Join John Berlin and me each weekend as we bring you the play-by-play of the high school football game of the week.
This Friday at 7 p.m., join us for the first round of CCS playoffs in high school football as the Monterey Toreadors host Leland at Monterey Peninsula College. 7 p.m. Friday.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Fia Kareem with your KRXA 540 AM traffic report. In King City on southbound 101, just north of Route 101, there's a traffic collision with no injuries. CHP is on the scene. On Highway 1 at Otter Cove, there is a deer on the right-hand shoulder. Also, on Spreckles Boulevard at Harris Road, a black dog is running in the road. Watch out for him. Moving on up to Santa Cruz, on East Cliff Drive at 25th Avenue, there is a moving roadway hazard. We have two incidents in the Hollister-Gilroy area. On Highway 152, just west of Fifield Road, there is a traffic collision, and CHP is on the scene. Then, on northbound 101, just south of eastbound Highway 152, there is a black dog in the road. Then, on northbound 101, just south of eastbound Highway 152, there is a black dog in the road. That's your traffic report on AM 540. The Peter B. Cullen Show will be right back.
And the Peter B. Cullen Show continues 24 minutes after the hour. We're talking with Shannon Moore up in Alaska in Anchorage. She's a radio journalist who's been covering the scene up there for a long time and has been a great help to us in the lower 48 trying to decipher what's been going on with the extended election wrangling over the Senate race. Mark Begich was declared the winner by more than 4,000 votes earlier this week. And there were, I think, 2,500 absentees remaining. Has there been an increase in the tally there, Shannon? And is it certified yet? Shannon? Oh, gosh. I think her cell phone dropped out there stuck in traffic. So I don't know the answer to that. Nick, you want to see if we can get her back for a quick comment here before the end of this segment? We'll see if that cell phone is working up there in the traffic jam with the... What we described. While we're waiting, a couple of headlines at Brad Blog. One of the interesting things that Brad is taking the lead on is coverage of the possible nomination of Governor Janet Napolitano of New Mexico to the Secretary of Homeland Security post. And one of the things that will happen if that occurs is that Jan Brewer, who is the Secretary of State in Arizona, would succeed Governor Napolitano. And on the Brad scale, the Secretary of State there is a big mess. So that may transpire, but it's something that people need to be aware of. I think we have Shannon back. Thanks, Shannon.
Sure. I was hoping you didn't think I'd been raptured.
I was worried about that.
I joked about it earlier, and then you hear
either that or a snow machine intersected with you and caused a pileup. Anyway, a question I had put to you before I discovered you were gone is, has there been a certification, and have all the votes been counted in the Begich-Stevens race?
There are still overseas ballots coming in. We do have a lot of military overseas, a huge amount. So those are still coming in. There's not enough that are going to come in to make a difference in that particular race. It isn't certified yet. It won't be certified until December. But what's interesting is that we do have, you know, the down ballot races, and one of our races is 4,999 to 5,000. You know, there are other people still very closely watching.
And did Don Young get reelected to Congress?
He did.
Wow.
He did, and that's a real puzzler. Every single one of the polls showed him from the time that Ethan Berkowitz, who was a state legislator here and very brave, stood up on the floor and said, "Hey, look, there's an issue, and you know, I don't know what you guys are up to, but I'm pretty sure one of you is going to jail for this."
Mm-hmm.
And that was the oil tax being bought, you know, the legislators being bought off on that. And he was right. So he has a really sterling reputation. As soon as he announced he was running, he was always ahead in the polls. And towards, I think, the last month, between 8 and 12, and now he's down by 5 points. So that's another sort of screwy deal. We're just like, yeah. scratch our heads over.
Well, I hope you and your friends will push for a full investigation of this election process and see if we can get it fixed for the next time around.
You know, my theory is that no matter who wins, you should be able to look at those original tabulator files, and you should be able to look at exactly how people voted and to ensure that every single vote is counted. I mean, if people don't have, and I know I'm preaching to the choir here, and I can tell you Brad Friedman has just been a giant help throughout this whole thing, just letting us know kind of where we need to be. But if you don't have a fundamental, I don't want to say trust or faith, because I don't believe in faith-based elections. I really think this is checks and balances, and they should be completely available to the people. And this is not something, you know, how many states have come up against this where they were told Diebold owned the information.
Yeah, Shannon, I'm running out of time. In 40 seconds, tell us about Sarah Palin and the Thanksgiving turkeys.
Oh, Sarah Palin and the Thanksgiving turkeys. Yeah, she pardoned one turkey right in front of a whole bunch of other ones getting slaughtered. And it's on television. They're their legs are kicking, and it's just, you know, it was just a mess. And it was interesting that she picked that as a photo op. And since, you know, I think she just thought maybe it made her look presidential.
Did she want to go field dress them or what?
No, she didn't want to. She was wearing black stilettos, and it was 11 degrees. So that just tells you how far she's fallen off of the Alaska.
Well, maybe those stilettos still belong to the Republican National Committee, and she just can't part with them.
She might not have taken them off yet. I don't know.
Shannon Moore, thank you for your excellent coverage. We'll talk to you next time news breaks in Alaska.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you, Shannon. Coming up next, Congresswoman Barbara Lee, new chair of the Congressional Black Caucus.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Come here, Max. What's wrong?
Ruff.
What?
Ruff.
Oh, I get it. A rough day?
Ruff, ruff.
Hi, I'm Dr. Annetta Richmond, inviting you to Natural Veterinary Therapy in Pacific Grove, the peninsula's new holistic veterinary medicine clinic featuring a wide variety of natural treatments and remedies for common ailments. We also specialize in acupuncture, chiropractic, and physical rehabilitation using an underwater treadmill. Natural Veterinary Therapy, Lighthouse Avenue between 14th and 15th in Pacific Grove. Our environment is unique. Clients comment on how calm and caring it is for their pets and themselves. At Natural Veterinary Therapy, our goal is to help your pet heal from within. So think for yourself and think for your pets. Visit our website at naturalveterinarytherapy.com. Or call 655-0501. That's 655-0501.
Meow.
Whiskers, I'd better call Dr. Richmond for you, too.
Meow, meow.
Looking for a big city dining experience with local ma-and-pa prices and service? Look no further than Jim's American Chinese Restaurant at 8069 San Miguel Canyon Road, Prunedale, just behind Burger King. Stephen Lowe, master chef and co-owner of Jim's American Chinese Restaurant, brings to Prunedale his 35 years of experience in cosmopolitan San Francisco. Stephen serves traditional American and Chinese dishes with subtle, delicious French and Italian influences. Jim's has great meals for $10 to $15. For extraordinary food to die for and prices that won't dent your budget, make it a point to visit Jim's American Chinese Restaurant in Prunedale. Jim's is open Monday through Saturday, 11 to 9, and Sundays, noon to 9. At Jim's, you can dine in or take out. And catering is also available. Call 663-4888. That's 663-4888. To make reservations at Jim's American Chinese Restaurant, call 663-4888.
The patient's not responding to the treatment.
I know. That imaginary jingle telling him to go where again?
Coffeetopia.
I've seen this condition before. It is very contagious.
What happened?
Nothing really. Everyone had a cup of coffee and a bagel. Speaking of which, let's go have a cup.
Where should we go?
Coffee, coffee, coffeetopia.
What was that?
And so it begins again.
For the best coffee, tea, or smoothies in the Monterey Bay Area, visit Coffeetopia. With three locations in Santa Cruz, 3701 Portola Drive near Pleasure Point, 1723 Mission Street on the west side, and the newest Coffeetopia at 1443 Capitola Road in the Live Oak area. Coffeetopia is also the oldest internet cafe in Santa Cruz, with wireless and by-the-minute computer stations. Other places use ice as fillers for their smoothies, but not Coffeetopia. They use all fruit and juices when making their delicious smoothies, and they also feature tropical, high-energy, acai smoothies, bagels, and fresh baked goods.
Coffee, coffee, Coffeetopia.
Want to meet a healthcare provider that will give you the time to talk about your health issues and actually listen to you? Are you looking for an alternative to the pill-popping culture created by the megaceutical companies? Do you have chronic pain, headaches, depression, allergies, or any other unresolved health concerns? Give Optimal Health a try. Hi, I'm Glenn Sadowski, licensed acupuncturist at Optimal Health Acupuncture in Monterey at 655-3208. I'll be at the Pilgrim's Way Bookstore in downtown Carmel on the second and fourth Sundays of each month. Reserve your space for an absolutely free 20-minute health evaluation, a wonderful opportunity to make an informed decision on your well-being. Call Optimal Health Acupuncture at 655-3208 today. Times are limited. Optimal Health, where you receive good medicine with great results. Our number again is 655-3208 or on the web at optimalhealthmonterey.com. Think for yourself at Optimal Health.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show. The late, great Isaac Hayes.
If the music makes you move, 'cause you can dig the groove, groove on. If you feel like you wanna make love under the stars above, love on. Something you wanna say, and talking is the only way. Rap on, oh, rap on. 'Cause whatever for you, oh, you've got to do your thing, yeah.
34 minutes after the hour, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. And joining me now is the new chair of the Congressional Black Caucus, Democrat Barbara Lee from Oakland, California. Barbara, welcome to our program today.
Good to be with you.
Well, congratulations to you on your new assignment.
Thank you very much. I'm excited. I tell you, the challenges are many, but we have a historic opportunity to change the direction of the country, so I'm ready for it.
Well, I'm very pleased for you, and you continue to move up in influence and power in the Congress, and you still maintain a connection to your own roots, your own community, and to our progressive values. And I think that's a really important combination, and I'm just delighted to see this advancement on your part.
Thank you, Peter. You know, it's important that you remember how you got to where you are. I mean, it's because of my district, which is a very enlightened and progressive district. It's a district that prides itself on coalition politics, and I've tried to stay true to the cause. I mean, you know, when you look at the history of the Bay Area and the work that we've done trying to end the occupation of Iraq, for energy independence, for our schools. It's an agenda, I think, that really leads the rest of the country. So now with a president-elect Barack Obama and Speaker Pelosi leading the Democratic caucus and myself leading one of our caucuses, I'm sure we're going to meet these challenges head-on.
Mm-hmm. What's the agenda of the Congressional Black Caucus in the coming year?
Well, you know, we're going to meet early part of January and put all of that together. But I can tell you, first thing on our agenda, of course, is the housing crisis and the foreclosure crisis and how to help people stay in their homes. Millions of lives have been shattered,
mm-hmm.
and we've got to do something and do something quick. Creating jobs, the second economic stimulus initiative, putting people to work.
Mm-hmm.
That's the agenda that we all have adopted and embraced because that what is calling us to establish that as a priority. But in terms of our overall long-term agenda for the next 2 years, we will be putting that together early part of January.
Okay.
And I'd like to talk to you about it when we do.
Oh, I'd look forward to that. Mm-hmm. And let me know your thoughts, and forgive me if any of this is delicate or sensitive, but I respect the way that Barack Obama ran for president. And he didn't make race a central part of his candidacy. And so I'm curious how the identity politics of a black caucus, of a Latino caucus, plays in this Obama era.
Well, I tell you, the country, we have a multicultural country. Our country prides itself on its diversity. And, of course, we have an African-American community, a Latino community, and an Asian-Pacific American community. All of us come with our own unique experiences, and that is so important when you talk about unity. And that's how you achieve unity, is recognizing and respecting the uniqueness and the differences, but understanding we're coming together in unity for a common good, and that's for the good of the country and the good of the world.
Mm-hmm. And one of the curious things that I noticed, I was at the stadium in Denver when Barack gave his acceptance speech, and I watched with great interest his victory night speech in Chicago. And in each case, he made references to Dr. King, but could not name him or chose not to name him. He would refer to him as the preacher, or he would use well-known quotes from Dr. King. Did you sense that, and does that mean anything to you?
I noticed it, but it doesn't mean anything. I suspect, and I don't know for sure, it could be his speaking style. It could be how he describes whom he's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that both speeches were phenomenal.
Well, they were.
I think that his speech on race was an unbelievable first time out talking about race in years in terms of the dialogue. And so I think President-elect Obama gets it. He knows and understands the dynamics that race plays in our country, but he understands and knows that his job is to unify the country, to make sure that we have universal health care for all, equal opportunity, housing, jobs, deal with climate change head on, infrastructure, you know, so he's very clear, I think, with regard to his overall agenda, which is an agenda that's going to be for the good of the country.
I understand. Barbara Lee, I know you need to go in a minute, and I appreciate the time you can spend with us, but let me just ask you, I want to see investigations into the serious wrongdoing and unconstitutional behavior of the Bush administration, and you know the issues, the wiretapping, torture, the illegal war, and you've been right on all of those matters. Do you believe the new administration will conduct appropriate investigations, or are we going to be in let's move on mode?
Well, I think that the Congress has been conducting these investigations for the last several years. Now, I, for one, personally have supported impeachment. I mean, I'm a big supporter of both Dick Cheney and President Bush in terms of impeachment, because I believe that they must be held accountable. And after they leave office, there's got to be some accountability with this administration. I don't know what form that's going to take, but believe you me, I'm going to work within the House of Representatives to try to push that agenda forward.
All right. Well, that's very important to me, and I hope you'll keep it in mind. I know you're on that page, but I just want to put a little bit of a further nudge there, because I'm afraid that with so many problems that we have, and I do understand that this is going to be tossed aside.
No, I got it. I understand exactly what you're saying, but just know, I'm a member of the Progressive Caucus, the past co-chair of the Progressive Caucus, opposed FISA. We held it up as long as we could.
Yeah.
Congresswoman Lynn Woolsey and myself, we have the largest caucus in terms of progressive caucus in Congress. And so Congressman Kucinich is a member of it. So I think that we're going to see that progressive movement continue.
All right. Barbara Lee, thanks for your time. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you.
Barbara Lee, new chair of the House Black Caucus, and a Democrat from Oakland, California. Lines are open if you'd like to talk with me during the rest of the show. 888-5-PETER-B is our toll-free number, 888-573-8372. You can comment on anything that's on your mind or in the news. I welcome your participation here. I want to take a couple of minutes here to plug a movie. I don't do this very often. I'm not a film critic. In fact, I don't go to the theater very often. Most of it's crap. I don't like violent films that produce blood and guts as an entertainment product. Most of the juvenile comedies don't appeal to me. I tried to watch Knocked Up on cable last week and got through about half of it before I gave up. And so it's rare that I recommend a film to you. Last night I went to a special advanced screening of Sean Penn's new movie called Milk. And for those who don't know the history of San Francisco, you'll look at Milk and think it's a joke. Got milk, something about cows, something about the little mustache, milk mustache on the upper lip. Harvey Milk was the first openly gay elected official. It took him four tries to win a seat in San Francisco politics. He tried three times for the local board of supervisors, once for the state assembly. And in his fourth electoral venture, he won election to the San Francisco Board of Supervisors. And this film does a fabulous job of describing the life of Harvey Milk and his tragic death. It's not a secret. The film explains it right up front what happened. He was murdered, assassinated by a fellow supervisor named Dan White, who was deeply disturbed, and he was homophobic, although he was fighting that and in some ways trying to work with Harvey Milk. And I think the film does a great job of explaining the tensions and the dynamics between those two very different people who were elected in the same election to the Board of Supervisors in San Francisco in 1978. And I want to recommend it to you because Sean Penn, I think, is one of the finest character actors in this era. And he studied Harvey Milk. He looks a lot like him. He adopted mannerisms without being cliche gay. There are many scenes where he kisses men, his boyfriends over the years. And so I think it's quite authentic. I know that history well because I had just arrived in San Francisco a year before Harvey Milk was elected. And that double assassination was a shocking, tragic moment for me as a newly arrived guy from Chicago. And I want to recommend this film to you, a progressive listener to this program, and I want to invite you to take someone who you know is uncomfortable with gay issues, who may have told you that they couldn't vote in favor of same-sex marriage. Because Harvey Milk presents it as a human rights issue. And in the film, you see Anita Bryant. And you see a California state senator named Briggs, John Briggs, I think it was, who sponsored a ballot measure in 1978 that was virulently anti-gay rights. It would have stripped homosexuals of the right to be teachers in California and create a witch hunt to root them out. And that ballot measure, like Proposition 8, just this year, was very divisive, and the Briggs Amendment was expected to pass easily by maybe a two-thirds vote. And Harvey Milk refused to accept that. He rallied gays, and he got homosexuals to come out to their families, to their friends, to show that they're real people, they're not somehow defective. And the parallels to the current climate are striking. Anita Bryant's not around anymore promoting homophobia, but we have plenty of substitutes, mostly in the Republican Party. And so this film will open the day before Thanksgiving, and I hope you will go see it. Let me play a brief excerpt here of the trailer, the promotional trailer for the new film Milk, starring Sean Penn.
Homosexuals are allowed their civil rights, and so would prostitutes or thieves or anyone else.
That's Anita Bryant.
40 years old, and I haven't done a thing.
I'm not going to be forced out of San Francisco by social deviance and incorrigible.
That's Dan White, the assassin.
We could have a revolution here. I don't do losing.
There she is, our new campaign manager.
You all scared of girls.
You'll be the first openly gay man elected to major office.
I think you're part of the machine now.
Society can't exist without the family.
We're not against that.
Can two men reproduce?
No, but God knows we keep trying.
If these people are going to live
a life of such open homosexuality, they are going to be removed from their jobs.
We're going to beat this thing. We need everyone.
We lose this. We'll have anti-gay laws in all 50 states.
I love
not like most homosexuals, I am.
Do you know a lot of homosexuals, Dad?
Harvey Milk will be stabbed and have native horror.
Call the police.
They probably wrote it.
You have an issue.
It's more than an issue. This is our lives we're fighting for.
You get the first go at the minute you stand with the microphone.
You don't have to go on.
The movie's called Milk, The Life and Times of Harvey Milk, and it touched me in many ways, particularly its accurate portrayal of San Francisco history. And wherever you are, whatever your orientation is, I hope you'll take the time and energy to see this film. We're going to take a break and return. Or two. My number is 888-5-PETER-B. If you'd like to join us, 888-573-8372. Straight ahead, more on the Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to KRXA 540.
Good evening, everyone. This is Fia Kareem with your KRXA 540 AM traffic and weather report. In Santa Cruz, we have a traffic collision with no injuries just north of Morrissey Boulevard. A CHP unit is on the scene. Taking a look at the Hollister-Gilroy area, on Highway 152, just west of Fifield Road, there is a traffic collision with no injuries. In weather, your forecast for tonight is mostly clear. Lows will be in the 40s to lower 50s. Saturday will be mostly sunny. Highs will be in the 50s to upper 60s. Here are some temperatures. Right now, Monterey is 50 degrees, Salinas is 57 degrees, and Santa Cruz is 58 degrees. That's traffic and weather on AM 540. Have a wonderful weekend. The Peter B. Collins Show will be right back.
Sun Street Centers has an outpatient recovery program designed for men and women with alcohol or drug issues, referred by the court system, employer-referred, or self-referred. Sun Street also takes insurance. At Sun Street, you're provided with one-on-one and group sessions that focus on relapse prevention, parenting skills, anger management, and family issues, and introduces the 12-step program. You can choose either 2 or 3 days a week or evenings with sites in Salinas and Marina. Just go to sunstreetcenters.org to sign up. sunstreetcenters.org.
Does it seem like the service is lacking at most service stations? Not at Mid-Valley Valero and Shell on Carmel Valley Road. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell offer complete auto repair, smog inspections, major brand tires, 30, 60, and 90,000 mile service checks, complete brake work, and fix any electrical problems. They even provide environmentally friendly auto detailing. Mid-Valley Valero and Shell use only the highest quality original and aftermarket auto parts. Call Mid-Valley Valero and Shell at 831-624-0722. That's 624-0722. Remember, for all your automobile needs, only Mid-Valley Valero and Shell will do. Locally owned, Mid-Valley Valero and Shell. Putting the service back in service stations.
There's more than one side to contemporary affairs. In fact, there's usually more than two sides. On Thursday nights at 10, listen in on KRXA 540, and you'll hear at least four. You'll hear the perspectives of Mark Leonard, Tony Rudy, Billy Sunshine, and me, Jack Hart. We have guests bring their own expertise and experience to their analysis of current events. Join us each Thursday night at 10 for a different perspective. And on September 4th, our show will expand to 2 hours, and we'll start at 9 in the evening and go through to 11. Join us here on KRXA 540.
We continue on the Peter B. Collins Show, and I'm glad you're listening.
To you at this moment, but that's all that matters to me. How are you?
That's one of the latest from Gnarls Barkley here on the PBC show. 8 minutes in front of the hour, and we're joined by Ben from Salinas, listening on KRXA. Hi, Ben.
Good afternoon, Peter. A comment and a question.
Okay.
First of all, has Anita Bryant, has she passed on? You said she's no longer around? Or
well,
does that mean she's not active anymore?
I mean she's not active politically. Let me do a quick Wikipedia search. I honestly don't know. She
might be in her late 70s, or she's quite of age, but I wouldn't suppose with her money she's probably still around.
Uh-huh.
I would hope so, for because I think of her as a singer.
Well, and with all that orange juice that promoted.
She'll have at least nice skin, huh?
I'll look that up, and I'll tell you.
You know what I've always felt sad about the Harvey Milk thing is I felt that Moscone died for no reason, just that he happened to be wrong place, wrong time, and the guy saw him coming out and had to take him out as a cop with no takeout witnesses.
Well, there were a couple of things there. First of all, Anita Bryant apparently is still alive. She was born in 1940, so...
Well, that's a spring chicken then.
Yeah.
God bless her. Hope she's healthy and well,
but
and enjoying all the luxuries of being rich and wonderful.
And well, you're very generous.
I'm being
you're very
sarcastic.
Generous. So about Milk and Moscone.
Yeah.
The way it came down, and you have to understand the twisted mind of Dan White. He was sick, and
he commit suicide. They took him out.
He served 5 years in prison.
Yeah, I know that.
And was released, and then he reportedly
in a car in his driveway.
Yeah, he reportedly committed suicide.
I think the Moscone people took care of family business, which is only right.
Well, I don't know about that, but the reason that if you want to follow his twisted thinking, he had resigned his seat because they were only paying $12,000 a year for supervisors at that point. And Dan White had a little business, a retail, I think, potato stand on the tourist trap Pier 39 on the waterfront in San Francisco. And he was under heavy financial pressure, so he resigned his seat, and then he reconsidered. He went back to Moscone and asked for his job back, and that's when Dan White pulled the trigger because Moscone had already selected his replacement, and also politically, White and Moscone were not aligned, and so there was no real reason for Moscone to be generous to him.
Well, let's just say there's a lot of things to be regretful of. Now, my question is, why can't we, as the population, the supposed we, the people of America, of the United States, proud country, bent in honor that we are bent in honor, we all have blood in the soil because of honor, why can't we not, by public acclamation, in some process, make Dennis Kucinich Speaker of the House and put Pelosi send her home? I mean, I don't like the woman. I'm trying to respect what she's done, but I think Obama's going to be very nice, but not much is going to change right away. You're not going to even see what he truly wants to do to 2 years of cleaning up George Bush's restrooms.
Well, I understand your point. First of all, just in terms of the rules of the House, you can't depose Pelosi as Speaker unless somebody mounts a challenge.
Or you show malfeasance in office. That would be mounting a challenge.
Yeah, I mean, there is an institutional impeachment process to remove a tainted speaker, but typically they resign before they face that, like Jim Wright.
But stood in the way of a true and deserved and honest, judicially supportable impeachment, and she won't tell us why. Maybe she can tell us the honorable thing that they've been trying to. What is the honorable course of this war? Not today. Iraq, they want us out. They voted. They're having hassles in their own parliament there because they want us out. They don't want the green zone to become the new Israel. It's going to become, if they listen to the great Ben, that's going to be the new Israel with all its implications, I'm sorry to say. Mm-hmm. And can Obama stop this? I would hope so.
Well, I understand what you're saying, and we did see a shuffle where Henry Waxman took out John Dingell as chair of the House Energy Committee. Yeah, I like to see that.
Waxman, it gets my badge of honor for the day.
And I wouldn't mind seeing a few more upsets like that, Ben. I don't think the Speaker is in a vulnerable position. And
well, I'm afraid you
I'm afraid
I have to agree.
I'm sorry that's the case.
And when Harry Reid responds to some of this stuff, why does the man speak so weakly and without, he doesn't have the formation of well-applied thought with anger and justice behind it. He talks like your favorite old uncle that was senile.
Yeah,
he doesn't come, you know, you and I are in the talking verbal business, and you speak with attitude and with integrity and the honesty of what you say, having been well-studied. Now, why can't he talk like the great Ben?
I don't know, Ben. Give him some lessons. Send him some cassette tapes, will you?
Well, they hear me on their tape.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you, sir.
The NSA tape. In closing the program today, some jokes somebody sent me about the bailout. Doctor's view of the bailout. The allergist voted to scratch it. The dermatologist advised not to make any rash moves. The gastroenterologist had sort of a gut feeling about it. The neurologist thought the administration had a lot of nerve. And the obstetricians felt they were all laboring under a misconception. The ophthalmologist considered the idea short-sighted. The pathologist said, over my dead body. While the pediatrician said, oh, grow up. The psychiatrist thought the whole idea was madness. The radiologist could see right through it. The surgeons decided to wash their hands of the whole thing. The internist thought it was a bitter pill to swallow. And the plastic surgeon said this puts a whole new face on the matter. The podiatrist thought it was a step forward, but the urologist felt the scheme wouldn't hold water. The anesthesiologist thought the whole idea was a gas. The cardiologist didn't have the heart to say no. In the end, the proctologist let the decision up to some a-holes in Washington. Thanks for listening to the Peter B. Collins Show. I'll talk to you next time.
Happy trails to you. Until we meet again, happy trails to you.
We're talking with Coach Dennis about how to get fit and get rich while helping others do the same.
That's right, Peter. You can earn extra money from your home or office on a part-time basis in the health and fitness world. Your health, your body, and your net worth come down to one thing, taking action. Control your own destiny. As an online fitness coach like me, you can begin creating a better life for yourself and your family with better health, more energy, and more financial freedom. Hundreds of other successful online coaches nationwide are getting fit and getting rich and living the dream lifestyle that comes with a thriving internet business. We'll train you and even give you your customers. It couldn't be easier. Get fit and get rich. It's all done part-time, it's all done online, and it's all done when you have the time. Call me now, 702-299-5789. No obligation, that's 702-299-5789, or visit us online at fitandgetrich.com. That's fitandgetrich.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney.
How are you?
Hi. Congratulations. We're so happy you're president.
Barack Obama shook hands and posed for pictures today when he stopped for a sandwich at Manny's Coffee Shop in Chicago, but for most of the day he was in meetings on putting the new administration together. CBS News correspondent Chip Reed has the latest.
Sources say Mr. Obama is expected to make a formal announcement of his economic team early next week in Chicago. That will be his first formal announcement of a cabinet member.
Reportedly, his choice for Treasury Secretary is Timothy Geithner, currently president of the New York Federal Reserve and a key player in the government's handling of the financial crisis. Wall Street likes him. As word leaked out this afternoon, the stock market took off. The Dow gained 494 points to close at 8,046. More on Geithner from CBS News correspondent Anthony Mason.
This is a guy who's known for liking to work behind the scenes. In 13 years at Treasury and another five at the Fed, he's never really sought out the spotlight. Now, that could be a problem because, remember, this is the point man in leading us out of the worst economic period since the Great Depression. He's going to have to learn how to become a communicator.
CBS News has learned Hillary Clinton has decided to take Mr. Obama up on his offer and become Secretary of State. Another contender for the job, New Mexico Governor Bill Richardson, is now a serious contender for Commerce Secretary. We've changed our spending habits in this time of uncertainty.
We're doing less credit card buying and cutting back some and using more cash.
And there'll be less holiday shopping, CBS's Sam Litzinger reports.
The Conference Board study finds American households plan to spend an average of $418 on gifts this holiday season, a drop of $53 from a year ago when the economy was in relatively good shape. Researcher Lynn Franco.
The economy's not doing well, neither is the stock market or housing, and we find that consumers are in a really cost-conscious mood heading into the holiday season.
She says the good news for consumers, bad news for business, is that stores will have to make deep discounts to get customers to spend. Sam Litzinger, CBS News.
The car companies say they will comply with demands from Democratic congressional leaders that they show viable restructuring plans before they get any federal money. But as CBS News correspondent Mark Noller reports, the Bush administration thinks Congress should have acted.
The White House calls it appalling that Congress left town without acting on a plan to help U.S. automakers. On Air Force One on the flight to Peru, Press Secretary Dana Perino denounced Democratic leaders for what she called minor...